Okay. We left off on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. We just finished the discussion of which mitzvos your ochel peroseim b'olam hazeh, and we're up to the two dots in the middle of Daf Mem Amud Aleph. It says this is basically all an exegesis of the, mostly an exegesis of the Tosefta from Peah, which I guess is relevant here. There's no Bavli in Peah that talks about Ochel Peroseim, etc. The Gemara says Hazchus, right? That's what it says. So Shas Tosefta to Peah. So a few of these braces are Toseftas in Peah. Hazchus Yishla Keren Vishla Peros. Shenemer Imru Tzadik Yitov. Zuchus has Keren and Peros. Aveira Yishla Keren Ve'en Lo Peros. Right, so being for mitzvos, you reward, you get the principal plus interest. But aveira, you get principal and you don't get interest. Oyla rasha ra, etc. Because what does it say? By the tzaddik, that was the pasuk we had just mentioned, says imur tzaddik yitov ki prima lin yochilu. You eat the peros. By the rasha, it says ki gmol yodav yaselo. Just the gmol. It doesn't say peros. The gmol is exactly what he's owed. So therefore we see it's a midah of chesed of Hashem that he gives us extra peros for the mitzvos, and you know, we get the keren, and we can also sometimes eat peroseim b'olam hazeh, but the averos we do not get peros. Now what exactly does it mean we don't get peros for averos? Here it seems to be a little funny. If peros means what we saw last time b'olam hazeh, then we never heard of such a shita that mitzvos you get rewarded b'olam hazeh, but averos you don't get rewarded. Punished by Olam Hazeh, only in Olam Haba. Usually it's based on the sheet of Zohar earlier, either both of them can apply by Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba, or neither of them. So therefore, Rashi says here that the peros here doesn't mean what we mean beforehand. Rashi says, Ein nifran mimenu yoser mikdei risho, means extra reward and extra punishment. It's not necessarily referring to which world, it just means in a mitzvah you could get extra reward, and in aveira you never get extra punishment. Now the Gemara asks, the elamayim b'chayim v'yochlim pre darko mi moatzosehem, excuse me, yisba'u, that when it's talking about averos, it says you eat the peros. So don't we see that there's peros for averos? The answer, averos she'os peros, yesh lo peros, she'enos peros, ein la peros. It depends. An avera that makes peros, you get peros. An avera that doesn't make peros, you do not get peros. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, an avera that causes other bad things besides the avera, such as chil Hashem, and Chil Hashem causes other people to do Averos, then you get punished more than what you did, also for what you indirectly caused, which is fair. An Avera that doesn't make Averos, you just did an Avera and it didn't cause anything but that Avera, then you do not get an extra punishment. Machshava Tova, and here this is something we also referred to in the previous staff, Machshava Tova Metzarfa L'Maisa. Hashem attaches Machshava Tova to Maisa, meaning, we'll see what this means, even if you don't do a ma'isa, right? Hashem gives you schar for a machshava tova, right? Exactly what the attaching is. Okay, there's a lot of drush on it, but the pashim shot seems to be when Hashem's adding up your reward for all your ma'asim, he also attaches all your good machshavos and rewards you for that as well. Shenemar, how do we know? As nidru yir Hashem ishol v'yev v'yachtu v'shem v'yishma v'yikasev sefer zikron l'fanav l'yir Hashem v'luchosh v'yishamo. It says in this pasuk that basically there's a book where it's written your heavenly reward for the Yirei Hashem and Chosh Veshemo. Mai L'Chosh Veshemo. What's the drash on Chosh Veshemo? Amar Vasi, if you look Chashav Adam Lassus Mitzvah Nenas, V'Losa, Mai L'Lavakasav Ki Losa. Even if you plan to do a mitzvah and then were prevented from doing it by circumstances, it sounds like if you plan to do a mitzvah and change your mind, don't expect a reward for that thought because you change your mind. You retract it. But if you plan to do a mitzvah and it just doesn't work out, you would have liked to, but circumstances beyond your control prevented you, then you get rewarded for the thought because you wanted to do the mitzvah, you just didn't work out. And that means what it means, machshava tova, kadosh baruch hu mitzarfa l'maisa. Machshava ra, ena kadosh baruch hu mitzarfa l'maisa. Shenemar, oven emar isi belibi, lo yishma Hashem, oven if there's sins in my heart, Hashem doesn't notice, meaning he doesn't punish for what's in your heart. And it sounds like, to be parallel, even if someone plans to do an avera and then circumstances prevent them, they won't get punished for that thought. So why does it say Hashem will punish this nation for the fruits of their thoughts? So it says you do get punished for thoughts. Machshava she also pray Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'Maisa. Machshava she ain't pray and Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'Maisa. No, if Machshava grows fruits, then Hashem punishes you. If it doesn't grow fruit, he doesn't. And Rashi explains, and pretty much everyone agrees, that means that if your Machshava ended up leading to an actual sin, you thought and then did the sin, you'll be punished for the sin and for the thought that led to the sin. But, and that way, there's no difference in Averos and Mitzvos. If you think and do, you get punished or rewarded for the thinking and doing. The Nafkamina is if you think and then circumstances don't work out and you don't do anything. For Averos, if you think and don't do anything, you're not punished. For Mitzvos, if you plan and then you don't do anything, you're still rewarded. Ve'ela ha'diksev l'man tfosas b'Yisrael b'libam. Ah, but it says Hashem's going to catch Bnei Yisrael for what's in their hearts, even if they don't do anything. Amar Vachar Bar Yaakov, this is what we had in Daf Lamed Tes. How about Avodas Chav Mudichsev? That's only talking about idol worship. The Amar Mar Chamur Avod Chav Mishal Kov Brake Mode Bechol Etor Kula, because Avodas Zarah is so chamur that whoever denies Avodas Zarah is like admitting the whole Torah. Conversely, whoever admits Avodas Zarah is like denying the whole Torah. Okay, I want to come back to that, but why is Avodas Zarah treated specially? I mean, if you think to go worship idols, then you're punished even if circumstances don't work out and you don't do it. So you could say it's just a matter of chumrah. You know, kula v'chumrah. You know, this is all a matter of chesed. Chesed, Hashem punishes, rewards you for thinking to an a mitzvah. And he doesn't punish you for thinking to an aveira, but aveira chamura, it's so chumrah that he even punishes you for thinking to do it. But the Meiri here says, just one second, a more lumdish explanation. He says, in most aveiras, what's the ikkar of the aveira? The mice are the doing, if I eat treif. The ikkar is the eating treif, not the thinking about treif. The problem is not that I hold from eating treif. The problem is the eating treif. And Gilui Arayos, the problem is that I hold from Gilui Arayos, that I do the Gilui Arayos. However, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the ikkar of Avodah Zarah is belav. The ikkar of Avodah Zarah is not the bowing down to the idol. The ikkar of Avodah Zarah, and bowing down is Asur. The ikkar of Avodah Zarah is the believing in the idol, right? So other mitzvahs are not dependent on belief. They're about your lifestyle, your actions. But Avodah Zarah, the ikkar is belief. The maisa is just a way of expressing your belief. And therefore, once you think to go worship idols, you're believing in idols. And therefore, it makes sense you should be punished just for the machshava, because the machshava itself is the problem, because Avodah Zarah is not really so much of a physical problem as much as an intellectual error.
This is the whole thing. Thinking about doing an avera, that's the yetzer hara. I'm not saying it wrong. You have your yetzer hara. The fact that you can overcome your yetzer hara and not do what pops into your mind, that's already the good thing. So.
Okay, but even if you don't overcome your yetzer hara, even if circumstances just don't work, even if I want to go eat a hamburger and I get to McDonald's and it's closed for renovations, I'm still not punished.
Yeah, but I mean, you could still do it some other way. I mean, but it doesn't work and then you stop.
Right. Okay, fair. Now, the Gemara just asks one last thing. The Gemara says, Ula Amar, Ula gives a different answer. You know when is Laman Tfoset Beit Yisrael Bilvavam? Bilibam, sorry? Kid Rav Huna. That's talking about a case of Rav Huna. When are you punished for your plans in a case of Rav Huna? Dam Rav Huna, Kevin Sha'avar Adam Vera Vishanaba Hutralo. Once a person does that Vera once and twice becomes Mutter to him. Hutralo Sakadaita, when he becomes Mutter to him. That's ridiculous. If you do averus, it doesn't become motor. It's not a legal, theological observation. It is a psychological observation, and a very good one at that, right? As someone once told me who was brought up from, and is now no longer, unfortunately, says, eating treif is really hard the first time. Meaning, you're used to a certain thing. You have certain psychological mechanisms that you won't do it. But once you do it once, once you do it twice, it becomes okay to you. Psychologically, you start to view it as okay, and it becomes your lifestyle. So he says that's why someone who already did a lot of Vera a lot of times, it became his lifestyle, then he's punished even for thinking about it. What is Pshat? Why would he be, like, if I think that I'm going to eat a cheeseburger, then I'm not punished for thinking. But if I already ate it twice, and now I think I'm going to eat a cheeseburger, then I am punished for thinking. Why is that? So I think the Pashup shot has to do with what the Netziv says here in his Merome Sadeh, which is similar to the idea the Meshech Chacham explains, based on Tosfos, Nefilam and Tesamid Beis. Tosfos says something interesting. He quotes quotes a drasha from the Yerushalmi in Peah there, that by Jews, Hashem does not punish us for planning to do an Aveira and does reward us for planning to do a mitzvah. By Goyim, it's the opposite. He doesn't reward them for planning to do a mitzvah, and he does punish them for planning to do an Aveira. So the question is, why is that? What's pshat in that Yerushalmi of Tosos? So you could see that Yerushalmi in two ways. You could view all of this as Yerushalmi, Jews versus Goyim. So you could view this as prejudice, right? I don't mean necessarily prejudice is always a bad thing. Like the Jews, Hashem has a special need of chesed for because of all the history, all we've been through together. And the Goyim, Hashem has a prejudice against. So it could just be a matter of prejudice. You know, justify prejudice. But, says the Meshech Chachma, you know, it's one thing, like, mainly if it was that the Goyim got, like, neutral, and the Jews got something, Lefnimishur Sadin, you could say, okay, you have a certain relationship, Lefnimishur Sadin. But it seems like a little unfair of a prejudice here. That really, that the Goyim, if they plan to do a mitzvah, don't get rewarded, but if they plan to do an Aveira, they do get punished. So the Meshech Chachma says, he explains it based on the, based on a famous Rambam, Hilchos Gerushin, right? The Rambam is not the only answer to this question, but he asked the famous question, if a guy refuses to give a get when he's supposed to, or other mitzvos, they beat him up and bezed until he says Rotzani. So the Rambam asked the obvious question, what good is it to beat him up until he says Rotzani? He's not really Rotzani, you have to beat him up. So says the Rambam, no, we have two levels of Rotzon. We have our inner Rotzon of our core values and ambitions and beliefs. And then we have the sort of temporary rutzon of like what our Yetzer Hara wants us to do based on our emotional reaction to the situations that we're in. Says the Rambam, every Jew has in their inner rutzon really wants to be Oved Hashem and do the right thing. It's just there's this klipa, as it were. There's this temporary rutzon of the Yetzer Hara that prevents them. So when we beat the guy up, we're not making him want something he doesn't really want. We're just taking away that sort of external rutzon and allowing him to access his inner rutzon, so it really is an inner rutzon. That's what the Rambam says. Everyone, really, every Jew has an inner rutzon to keep the Torah, and that's why we can force him to do it, because we're really forcing him to just be in touch with his inner rutzon or to release his inner rutzon. Says the Meshech Chachma, he says, what's the case here when we're dealing with planning to do something and not doing it? Again, we don't mean you change your mind. If you change your mind, that's tshuva, right? If you plan to do something good and change your mind, that's Toel Arishonos, that's reversing your decision to be good. If you plan to do something bad and change your mind, that's tshuva. That's not the issue. The issue is you plan to do something and then circumstances didn't work out. Now, it's actually interesting if you observe life. Sometimes people say, oh, I plan to do this, but circumstances didn't work out. There are two different cases like that. You know, there is, I want to go to school, but I missed the bus. So, you know, the dog ate my homework, etc. No, okay, that's a lie. But I wanted to go to school and I missed the bus. The kid really missed the bus. Now, you have to ask yourself, did the kid really miss the bus because he really, really, really wanted to go to school and he tried his mightiest and through circumstances beyond his control, he missed the bus? That happens sometimes. Or sometimes, he didn't really want to go to school so much. You know, maybe he wasn't, he didn't have the guts to get up and say, I refuse to go to school, but he dragged a little and he delayed a little and this and that. And so it ended up, you know, it's very hard when you plan to do something and circumstances happen beyond your control. Sometimes you really plan to do it and it was really beyond your control. And sometimes you didn't really plan to do it so well. And even if the circumstances were really beyond your control, you ever notice the difference in our own lives? Sometimes you plan to do something, and it doesn't work out. The circumstances beyond my control, and I'm so upset it didn't work out because I was really looking forward to doing it. Sometimes you plan to do something, and it doesn't work out, and you're relieved that it didn't work out because you didn't really want to do it. You were sort of pressured to do it, etc. So this is a very difficult question. When someone wants to do something and does something, they did it. Someone doesn't want to do something, they do. Someone wants to do something, but it doesn't work out. Did they really want to do it, or did they really not want to do it? It's very hard to tell. Like, what's their inner rutzon? So says Meshech Chachma, that's the difference between Jews and Goyim. That's the difference between Jews and Goyim. If a Jew wants to do a mitzvah and it doesn't work out, we can assume that his inner rutzon is that he really wants to do mitzvos, and he said it didn't work out. If a Jew wants to do an aveira and didn't work out, we can assume his inner rutzon is not to do aveiros. He was just overtaken by a mood of Averos, and he's very happy that it didn't work out, and he's very glad that he didn't fall into that pit, because his inner Rotzen was not to do it. And it's not a matter of prejudice, it's just a matter of valuing someone's inner Rotzen. He says likewise for the Goyim, however. Now again, you can't find me one Jew and one guy who breaks the mold. He means, in a general sense, right? Someone who's generally not committed to the Torah and Avodas Hashem. So therefore, if they say they're going to do a mitzvah, I'm going to give money to charity, but he probably doesn't want to. He's reluctant to give money to charity. He's relieved that it didn't work out, and therefore he doesn't deserve schar. If he says he's going to do an Avera, then says he's going to go do Gilui Arayos, he probably really did want to do Gilui Arayos inside. That's his lifestyle. That's what he really believes in. And therefore, if it didn't work out, but he really wanted to do it. So he says this is just a way of revealing your inner Ratzon, says the Meshech Chachma. He says it's revealing the inner Ratzon, and the assumption is that someone's inner Ratzon is determined by their philosophical commitments, right? So he says, for Yisrael, then the assumption is Bechezkas Ratzon L'mitzvah V'lo La'avera. That's a chazaka. If he does it, he does it. If he decides not to do it, he decides not to do it. But if he's sort of in between, he was about to do it and it didn't work out, then what's his real ratzo? So the chazak is he wants to do mitzvahs and averos. And be'akom, he's bechezkas ratzo la'averos below the mitzvahs. Now, again, I don't mean every guy has a chazak of ratzo to do every avera, but I mean, if he's planning to do it anyway, the chazak is that's an authentic inner ratzo. Then says the Meshech Chachma, says the Netzivra, the Mormisada, that's very meduyak, because what do we find? That it's not just a matter of your yichus, of whether you're born Jewish or Goyish. It's a matter of your lifestyle. Let's say a Jew changes his philosophical commitments and decides to lead an Avera lifestyle. Then he does get punished for his plan, because that's his inner Ratzon. And that's exactly where Rav Huna says, right? So adds the, here's one step from Meshech Chachma, second step from Mormisada, which is the Netziv on Shas. He says that then it makes sense, Nicha Yisrael Shenasis Lo Keheter, then he really has his inner Ratzon is for Averos. After all, once it's Nasis Lo Keheter, it's not like once his Yitzhar got hold of him and he almost did an Avera, but we can assume the Chazak is he didn't really want to do it inside. No, if he does the Avera once or twice and turns it into a lifestyle, then he no longer has a Jewish lifestyle and Jewish philosophical commitments. He now has a Goyish lifestyle and philosophical commitments. So it makes sense that the guy who eats treif 6 times, and on the 7th time the McDonald's is closed, of course he should be punished for planning to eat treif. Because he really did have the inner Ratzon to eat treif because he changed his hashgafa. You know, inner Ratzon is not a mystical thing. Inner Ratzon is a psychological thing. So he changed his hashgafa and no longer cares about the Torah, and therefore his inner Ratzon is really to violate the Torah. Again, the assumption is the inner Ratzon is not some deep mystical Hasidish thing. It's a matter of your basic philosophical commitments. That's his basic Kiddush, right? That the inner Ratzon, this is a big machlokus in the Rambam, is determined by your basic philosophical commitments, not by mysticism, right? So it's not like mystically a Jew always has good inner Ratzon and a guy always has bad inner Ratzon. No, is that a Jew always has good inner Ratzon if he has a Torah lifestyle in general, even though sometimes he gets tempted. And a guy always has a bad inner Ratzon if he has a non-Torah lifestyle in general, even though sometimes he's influenced to do good things. But if a Jew decides to change, not just change one action, change his lifestyle, then he becomes like a guy and he is punished for a for his machshavas avera, and that's exactly what Rav Huna says. Then that's a more serious machshava. Maybe, although this is a stretch, you could even go so far as to say, but that's a chiddush. Maybe yesh lomar that also explains avodah zarah. Why is machshavas avodah zarah different? So it's interesting. The line of the Gemara. The line of the Gemara says, because whoever believes in avodah zarah is kofar and kol tor kula, and whoever is kofar and avodah zarah believes in kol tor kula. Maybe the problem with avodah zarah is that, you know what, if I decide to eat treif, I'm not changing my whole philosophy. I'm giving into a taiva, and if I don't eat treif in the end, then maybe I didn't really want to. If I decide to treif once, I haven't changed my philosophy. But if I decide to worship idols once, then I've changed my philosophy, because whoever's moved about Bavodazara, the converse of the line where it's called from Kaladar Kula. Once I've changed my philosophy, like Mela, if I really believe in the idol, then of course my inner Ratzon turns into a Ratzon for Averus, because I don't have a philosophical commitment to any reason to lead a good lifestyle anymore. So maybe you could say it's just been doing Losh of the Gemara. Maybe you could say that explains Nicha Avodazara, you are punished for Machshava, because your inner Ratzon changes because you're Kikofer B'chol HaTorah Kula. Once you're Kofer B'chol HaTorah Kula, again, if we assume inner Ratzon is not a mystical thing, but inner Ratzon is a philosophical thing, once you're Kofer B'chol HaTorah Kula, then of course your inner Ratzon is really to do evil. And if you look at the Rambam Hilchos Gerushin, by the way, this is a big issue. I'm not passing the Halacha L'maaseh implications now, because it's not our sugya. But if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, that the Meshech Chachma quoted here, I'll read it to you very briefly. Last time I checked, it was in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Beis, Halacha Chaf. The Rambam says, he has a fascinating Lashon, about why is someone's inner Ratzon really good. So he says since he wants to be a Jew and do all the mitzvahs and stay away from Averos, he really wants to be a Jew and do all the mitzvahs and Averos. Just the Yitzhara got the better of him. Maybe that's talking about only someone who wants to be a Jew and do the mitzvahs and Averos. And Afuki, someone who wants to worship idols, or someone who wants to turn his lifestyle into Averos, who might, maybe then it wouldn't work. If the guy's mom is not from Bechlal, maybe the Rambam would say, you can't beat him up till he says Rotzani, because his inner Rotzon really is bad.
What did Rav Huna say, Nasadol Heter, or Ke Heter, after two times? Then don't you need a chazaka of three?
That is a fascinating question. Don't you need a chazaka of three? It is a machlokas, but we normally pass him on number three, so it's still tricky. So the answer is I'm not sure. That needs more E on that question. Yes?
Don't we see in the Torah that there's an element of taiva in Avodah Zorah that isn't necessarily kvira?
So that's true. That's why I wouldn't have jumped to say this chiddush. Because after all, maybe it's a taiva, maybe it's a social pressure, etc.
By the way, I don't understand. What could be the taiva of something like that? But there wasn't taiva.
Right. So I would answer straight. So first of all, that's not so posh, because it may have been the taiva was to get what this God would help you with. I mean, it could be the taiva desire. It's not that it's a taiva to go worship him, to go to church. The taiva is that if you really believe that this God can make it rain, then you have a taiva for the rain. So it could be the taiva was really believing. Yeah, it's a big taiva. We don't understand what's the taiva. Yeah, that's because we don't understand why people believe that this little statue could make it rain and make your sheep give birth. So maybe there's a certain hana in it. So yesh la'ayin, we'll leave that as a yesh ian for now. Maybe it could be the taiva was just that then you didn't have to keep the mitzvos, or it could be there was really a taiva. But nonetheless, since our Gemara emphasizes the philosophical commitment that if you're molded by Zohar, you're corporal called Torah Kula, that's why I think that it might be focusing on that.
Isn't it clear that it means your kavana for all the mitzvos? In other words, every time you say a bracha, you don't mean it.
Right. Which is part of what that fellow in the Yeres HaShemah to the Rambam's again said, which was a little unfair because they weren't really trying to worship Avodah Zarah. Correct. Okay. So that is, you start with this Tosfos, the difference between Jews and Goyim. It could be seen as just a prejudice, a justified prejudice. I know prejudice sounds very bad nowadays. Could be justified prejudice, or it could be the Mishnah Chachma says, no, a logical difference. If you take that logical difference mystically, then it doesn't explain anything else. But if you take that logical difference as just your psychological, your philosophical commitment, then the whole Gemara reads, where Huna fits in, and maybe even that's Pshat in Avodah Zarah, even though we had other good Pshat in Avodah Zarah also, so it's just a possibility. Let's read on then.
The difference is a prejudice.
Yeah. Correct. now the Gemara continues. sorry. Amar Rabbi Abba Rabbi Chanina. Noach lo l'adam shiavor aveir b'seishu v'yichal shim shemayim for hesya. It's better to do an aveira secretly than to be yichal shim shemayim by doing it publicly. know, you know, sometimes they put in the newspaper, you know, oh, they found some guy, like really Haredi looking guy, whatever, doing an Avera, so they put in the newspaper. Okay, you know, is it fair for them to put in the newspaper? No, I mean, nowadays in Israel, there's many, many Haredi looking guys. Of course, one of them is going to do an Avera. You know, that's, you know, how statistically lucky can we get? But nonetheless, it is a Chil Hashem, especially if someone's not just a Haredi-looking guy, but a Chashim guy, then it's a big Chil Hashem. So better for you to do a very secretly than to do a Chil Hashem. Okay, that's so far fairly reasonable, even though the Gemara's going to question it. Shenem, Rabbi Yatem Be'Yisrael, Kol Amar Hashem, Ishki, Lulav, Luchu, Ibdu, Ve'acher, Minchem, Shom, Chachim, Elai, Ve'ashem, Kodshi, Lo, Sechalalu. Right, so what does he say? Go worship your idols, but don't be mechal shem shemayim. And what we say that means is that better for you to worship it in private than to do it in public. Mechal shem shemayim. Amar Yilai Yizakim. He says based on that, imro adam she yitzur misgabra. A person sees yitzur hara is taking hold of him. Yelach machshem akirut. Watch the guy do. He's about to do the avirus. Yitzur hara got the better of him. Go to a place no one knows him. The yilbash shkor miskash shkor and wear black clothing and put on a black cloak. Meaning, in those days, like white clothing was like for very chashid people, and black clothing was for very poshid people. So it basically says, you might be a big rabbi or a chashid person or something, you know, go to a place no one knows you and put on jeans and a baseball cap, right? The yasek mishalib chafetz, and do what your heart desires. The ayichal shem shemayim for hesya, and you won't be mechal shem shemayim for hesya. Okay, so that seems to be just an application of the previous statement. If it's better to do an avera b'seisha than to be mechal shem shemayim, then if you're going to do the avera anyway, do it b'seisha and don't be mechal shem shemayim. Again, nowadays, that's technically trickier, this advice, just because it's much harder to keep things secret with the you know, security cameras and internet and everything. Okay, but still, yeah, I guess you try the best you can. Now the Gemara just asks, is that true? But isn't there a brice that says whoever doesn't care about the covenant of Hashem, it'd be better off if he had never been born? Right? Meaning better off dead than never born than if you don't care about Kod Hashem. Mahi, what does that mean? Rabam Zer Mastak Lakesha, someone who looks at the rainbow. We'll come back to that. Yotzer Zer Over Avir B'Seser, someone who doesn't have Avir in secret. Why is doing an Avir in secret considered to be not caring about Kod Hashem? Because if you think about it, why would a guy do an Avera in secret, right? I don't want to do an Avera in public because people will see, but in the and I'll have tzaris. But in secret, no one sees. So it's really like the guy's kofar and Hashem. He thinks he can get away with it because no one's looking. What do you mean, right? Remember the Ganav and the Gazlan from the end of the seventh parak of Bava Kamma? The Gazlan who steals in public is terrible, a very, very bad person, destroys society. But the Ganav is twice as bad. The Ganav pays kefal. Why? Because the Gazlan, at least, he doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care who sees him. The Ganav sneaks around to make sure no one sees him. And he doesn't think about the fact that someone's always seeing him. He just doesn't believe that God sees us. Right? So therefore, if you're doing a favor in secret, it's like you don't believe, because you think you can get away with it, because no one's looking. So then you're denying God. So that's a terrible Avera. So how can you say it's better to do an Avera in secret? We see it's worse to do an Avera in secret. So that's really not a problem. This if you can conquer Yitzhar, this if you can't. Meaning there are two reasons for a guy to do an Avera in secret. If the guy, he could conquer Yitzhar, but he does it in secret because he thinks that there's no downside, that no one's looking, then it's worse to do it in secret because he's being kofar and Hashem. So if the guy is deciding, like, I could do the Avera or not, I could go either way, but I'll do it in secret because then I'll get away with it, then that's worse to do it in secret, because he's denying Hashem. But if the guy can't beat Kankar's HR, he knows he's going to do the Avera. And he doesn't choose to do it in secret because he can get away with it. He knows he's going to pay the price. He just chooses to do it in secret to better not to make a Chil Hashem. Then it's better to do it in secret. So it depends why you choose. If you chose doing it in secret over not doing an Avera, then it's because you thought you'd get away with it. And it's worse because you're denying Hashem. But if you chose, you didn't have the choice not to do the Avera. You just chose secret over public to wait for Hashem, then it's better to do it in secret. Okay, all very logical. And how bad is Chil Hashem? The Gemara continues. Tanan Hasam. Okay, it's a big problem what the Tanan Hasam is supposed to deal with since it doesn't appear to be a Mishnah. So either you have to change the Girsa to Tanya, either you have to say that, change the Girsa to Tanya, or say that Tanan is Lavdavka, like Tosa suggests in the second answer, or say, no, it's a Diuk from the Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos talks about how bad Chilul Hashem is. So the diuk is ein makif and b'chilul Hashem. We're not makif b'chilul Hashem. Echad shogeg echad mezid. Whether shogeg or mezid doesn't mean you pay the same price, but you pay the price. Okay, my ein makifin. What does it mean ein makifin? Amar zutra shein osin k'chen vani. That ein makifin means they're not like a storekeeper, right? Hakafat hachanot is a phrase all over Shas, right? It means you buy on credit, right? You can get credit for other affairs. Hashem will have a lot of patience, give you time to do tshuva, etc. But in Chilul Hashem, it's so chomer you can't expect credit. Hashem will punish you right away. And actually, it's interesting. Why will Hashem punish right away for Chilul Hashem? It could be just because it's so chomer. It could also be to avoid the Chilul Hashem. Meaning, if a guy like does averos and gets away with them, then it's even bigger Chilul Hashem. If the guy does averos and then pays the price, goes to jail or something, then it's not such a big Chilul Hashem because the guy does averos and lives happily ever after, laughs all the way to the bank, then it'll encourage other people to emulate him. If the guy does averos and Hashem punishes him right away, then at least it'll minimize the Chilul Hashem a little because everyone will say, oh, you see people do averos, but it's not a good idea because then they end up in jail. And that's the first shot. Ein makifin, Rashi says, according to this shot, means they're different interpretations. Means to like puts the compare something to something, to put something next to something. So he says you don't like weigh Chilul Hashem against something else. If you did one of your one mitzvah, they might weigh your scale would be even. But Chilul Hashem, you can't just weigh it against something else. If the scales are even and you have Chilul Hashem, it tilts towards the negative side, just like certain things tilt towards the positive side. Chilul Hashem tilts towards the negative side. Okay, all of this is good muster that we should avoid Chilul Hashem, but what bothered many Rishonim is the Yasem Asher Libo Chafetz. What did they say? It's Lo Matzi Kayif Li Yitzri. You can't control your Yitzhara, and therefore you're going to do this Avera. So better do it in secret, do whatever you want, just don't be Chilul Hashem. It's a little bit of a funny Lashon because, like, if you ask me Halachic Shaila, I can do the Halachic Shaila. Rabbi, now, if the halachic shaila was, what's worse, to do an aveira in secret or to do Chilul Hashem? Okay, you can say what's worse. What's worse, to eat pork or to eat chametz on Pesach? Okay, we have ways of measuring what's worse, what's better. What's worse, to be Chilul Shabbos or to be Chilul Yom Kippur? Okay, we can measure what's worse. But I say, Rabbi, what should I do? What should I do? Should I do the aveira in public or should I do it in private? So what's the real halachic answer? Don't do the Aveira at all, right? Meaning, this is not like these cases we learned in Masechta Shabbos many years ago where, you know, the bread's already in the oven. Should I do the small Aveira of taking it out of the oven to avoid it baking on Shabbos? That, yeah, you have to choose. You don't have the option of not having any Aveira at all. Or, you know, I already gave the Am Ha'aretz Tevel, he's going to eat it. Should I take Truma Shalom and Amukaf in order for him? Okay, there I don't have a choice. But over here, there's a third option. Just don't do the Aveira. Like, it's one thing to say, it's less bad to do it in secret than doing Chilul Hashem. But to tell the guy you're allowed to do Mashal Libo Chafetz, that's a very strange thing. How can you tell the guy it's okay to do Mashal Libo Chafetz? And this bothered many of the Rishonim. It bothered many of the Rishonim. How can we matter the guy to go, oh, you want to do a very short, just like put on jeans and a baseball cap and tuck your payas into your baseball cap and then you can go to the Zona? Like, no. You shouldn't do an aveira at all. So that's why Tosfos goes to Rabbeinu Chananel, even though, and you see, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, Chas v'shalom shehut shelo laver aveira. Chas v'shalom kepshuto, that it's okay to do an aveira better than Chilul Hashem. It can't be. Chas v'shalom. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, what kind of religion is that? So it can't mean that. Rather, he quotes Tosfos from Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rashi quotes something similar in Moed Katan from Rav Haigoin. That what does it mean? This is a bit of a creative reinterpretation. That what did he mean? That we thought it meant, you know, go someplace no one knows you and wear, you know, bad clothing in order to get anonymity, right? But what Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, in order to be mishabri yitzhara. After all, right now you have big yitzhara. What's the eitzah? To just sit here and fight with your yitzhara, you're going to lose. So rather, where your yetzer hara comes from? It comes from you feeling comfortable and you feeling good about yourself and you're feeling on top of the world. Therefore, you go to a place no one knows you, you have some hardships, you dress not chashav, and all of a sudden you don't think you're such a chashav, you're so chashav. You take that advice and it'll destroy your yetzer hara.
Are you sure then?
And then, mashalibo chafetz, then you'll do what your heart desires. Yes, it doesn't say do an aveira. It says do what your heart desires, meaning then your heart will no longer desire to do an aveira. Now, what's funny is Tosfos makes it sound like Rabbeinu Chananel is sure of it. We'll see, it's not so pashut. Rashi quotes something similar in Moed Katan from Rav Haigon. So apparently this shot has a chashuv pedigree. The Rabbeinu Chananel and even before him Rav Haigon says, don't take it literally. It doesn't really mean to do the Aveira. It just means, says Rashi, not himself, but quoting Rav Haigon, Rav Salomar, Devadai, Aaron, says Rav Haigon, Kevin Shalav Ashkor, Mechuli, and the Arev, Vidavar, Sheinu Chafit, Kan, Ve'ilch, Aveira. Arev, I'll guarantee. Vada, guarantee, this is the way to attack your Yitzhahara. The Ritva even quotes, quote unquote, from the Yerushalmi, which we don't know what Yerushalmi that is. We don't have that in our Yerushalmi. He says, not only that, how does that fit Vyasa Mashalibu Chafetz? Says Rav Haigon, your heart will change. Your heart will now want to not do an Avera. The Riffus is something even more creative. Vyasem Miloshon, right? What does it say? Ve'asosem Rishayim. Miloshon Isa. What does it mean? La'asos, like with a, we would spell it Ayin Samach. To pound, right? To crush, right? When you knead the dough, right? And that's a pasuk. The pasuk is in Vasosem Rishaim Ki Yu Efer Tachas Kapos Raglichem is a pasuk in Hineh Yom Babo Er Ketanur. What?
Malachi.
I think it's a pasuk in Malachi. Correct. It's a pasuk in Malachi. Thank you. It's a pasuk in Malachi. It's in Shabbos HaGadol, I think. I think it's from the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol. It means you crush Mashalibo Chafetz. You crush your heart's desire. Not you do your heart's desire, you crush your heart's desire. Now that's a bit of a stretch. We're not darshaning a pasuk which is given to Pshat and Drash, etc. We're just explaining a pashat Meimur Bavilai. Really? When he says Yasa Mashalibo Chafetz, he meant to crush your heart's desire? Okay, but. You know, I'm not promising that, I'm not Vaday or Arev, that that's what Vilayim meant by the word Yaseh, but it shows you how desperate the Rishonim were to explain that he couldn't possibly have meant it. So if the question is, how could Rav Eloi permit an Aveira? So one shot is the Rach and the Rav Haigon and the Ritva B'shem Yerushalmi, that it's really an Eitzah to conquer the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, Yasa Mashalibu Chafetz either means do what your new Libo Chafetz after you conquer Yetzer Hara, or it means crush Mashalibu Chafetz. Right? Either Yasa Ma Shalibo Yachpotz Acharkach, or it means Ye'ase et Yetzer Hara. You should crush the Yetzer Hara. Okay, these are clearly not Pashut Pshat. And as a matter of fact, Tosfos in Chagiga says they don't even match the Gemara. Why? Because in our Gemara, the stira seemed to be between Rabbi Abahu says it's lesser avir to do b'seser, and Rav Yosef, who says a bigger Aveira to do b'seser. But in the Gemara Chagiga, the steer between Rabbi Eloi, who says it's a smaller Aveira to do b'seser, and Rav Yosef, who says the bigger Aveira to do b'seser. So if Rabbi Eloi says it's a smaller Aveira to do b'seser, obviously he's telling you to do b'seser. So Tosa says, it could be the Rabbi had a different Gerson Chagiga, at least according to our Gerson Chagiga, it doesn't match the Gemara so well. Also, this Gemara Moed Katan, there was a certain Talmud who had bad rumors about him, and they put him in chair and he died. And he at least got a chashuv burial because he did like Rabbi Eloi. Sounds like if he did like Rabbi Eloi and never did any aveiros, then why would he be punished at all? Sounds like he did aveiros, but he did the miseser, so he didn't get so he at least got medium punishment. But that's a very radical view. The truth is, if you look in the Rach and Moed Katan, you see that he didn't actually go this far. He really meant more like the Meiri. What did the Meiri and the Rach say? in order to avoid this problem? Chas v'shalom hotu lavar avera. Rather, what's the case? What does the Meiri say here? And the Rachamai Kutin really says this. Really, he throws in this part about conquering Yetzirah as like a secondary point. Says, also, maybe you'll conquer Yetzirah. But the Rach does not say it's guaranteed to conquer Yetzirah. That's naive. He would call Rahigo naive. He just says, as a secondary point, maybe you'll cross your Yetzirah. But that's not his main shot. What is main shot? What's his main shot? Right? The Rach in his main shot. What does he say? What are we talking about here? Are we talking about an Avera? Okay, but what does he say before that? What are we talking about? What does the guy want to do? That's so bad. Okay. Says the Rach and Moed Katan. I'll read you the Rach and Moed Katan. The same things in the Meiri here. Ooh. If I'm still young enough, I will read you the Rach and Moed Katan. Ooh, this is a little tough. But I'm going to try. He says that Imro Adab Shiyitzrim Zgabra love Perush. Mevakish Lishdos Mine Zemer. He wants to drink at the bars with singing. He wants to go to kind of party that could lead to Avera. Kigon Zamar Yelchok Shemakirnoso, etc. Kigon Achilu Shtiv Mine Zemer Kirzem. He was talking about partying, not about Mamash and Avera, about something inappropriate. Avaldvar Avera. Chas v'shalom is matir and avera. He was only talking about inappropriateness. It's not that the guy wants to go to a zona and whatever. It's that he wants to go see a movie. It's not us to see that movie. It's just inappropriate to see the movie. And therefore he says, you know what, okay, go put on jeans and a baseball cap and tuck in your payas and go to a neighborhood, you know, where no one knows who you are and go see the movie. But he wants to go to the bar and watch the World Series. But he wasn't talking about Mamish doing an Avera. Of course you get Mamish doing an Avera. He was just talking about something inappropriate. And then it makes sense. It's something inappropriate. You really shouldn't do it. And if you do it in public, it's really bad because it looks bad. But if it's in private and it's not Mamish usher, it's just inappropriate, then even though it's not L'chadchila, you know, b'di'evet, b'shas adchak, it's not the end of the world. Where it's not Mamish and Avera. So that's what the Meiri says here. He says that it's not an actual Avera, it's just something inappropriate. And that's why we could tell the guy, you know, I'd rather you didn't do it, but if you're gonna do it, at least don't do it in public and make a chilul Hashem, you know, do it privately. But Chas v'shalom wouldn't be an Avera. We wouldn't be matur an Avera. So that takes away the edge, and what Rabbeinu Hananel really says is, Aaron has a tiny number of high going, you're really gonna guarantee that'll work? So Rabbeinu Hananel doesn't guarantee that'll work. He really says, really talking about something inappropriate. And then also, maybe it'll conquer your Yetzirah. And if not, you'll do the inappropriate thing. But he was not guaranteeing. Rav Haigon is a Tzarech Ian, how he could guarantee it. Right? That's a bit of a Tzarech Ian. Rav Haigon says, Vadai. But Rav Haigon himself says, no. This is not a Vadai. That's just an additional factor after his main shot. The third shot I wanted to mention here the riff. The riff in Moed Katan has a fascinating shot. What does the riff say in Moed Katan? What does the riff say about this Gemara? He also doesn't think he'd be Matur and Avera. So what does the riff say? He has one short line in Moed Katan, right? If you have it in front of you, no, don't you get Morty's and Charlie's Makora. What does the riff say? He says, no, but what does he say? How does the riff address this problem? The riff was bothered. How can you be matur and avera? And he addressed it. How did he address it? I don't have a riff in Moed Katan here, but says the riff in Moed Katan. He says, "Ain halachic rabbi Eli." Right? What's his lashon there? Lokaimlan. What's I forget his exact lashon. Let the rabbi Eli. We don't pass the like rabbi Eli. He rejects rabbi Eli. Okay, but let's think about it. Like, on what nekuda does he reject rabbi Eli? Like, why does he reject Rabbi Eli? Let's all be honest. We know why he rejects Rabbi Eli. The same reason Rabbi Nachmanel says, Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom to accept Rabbi Eli. So, one way, Chas v'shalom, he never meant it. He was just giving you an Eitzah to, like, calm yourself and quash your Yetzirah by being humbling yourself. Or, he did mean it, but he didn't mean it about an Avera, Chas v'shalom. He just meant it about inappropriateness. The Riff says he meant it, but he's wrong. Why don't we hold like him? What does the Riff say? Based on what principle do we not hold like him? Where was his mistake? The Kaimalon. Kol b'dei shemayim chutz b'yir shemayim. Says the Rif, there is the third option. Don't do it in public, don't do it in private, don't do the aveir at all. What do you mean, lo motzi kayif li yitzri? Yitzhar mitzgaber lov, your yitzhar is beating you. Lo motzi kayif li yitzri, you can't beat your yitzhara. Says the Rif, what do you mean you can't beat your yitzhara? It's hard to beat your yitzhara? Yes, it's hard. And Hashem understands that for some people it's easy and for some people it's hard. It's hard sometimes. This world's a world of nisyonot. It's sometimes very hard to beat your yitzhara. But what do you mean you can't beat your yitzhara? That's just not a true fact. He denies the premise. You can always beat your yitzhara. Just don't do an aveira at all. I think you can die from the Rif that, what did Rabbi Eloi think? Maybe Rabbi Eloi thought that your mamash couldn't beat your yitzhara. Maybe Rabbi Eloi thought you didn't have free will in this case. If your mamash can't beat your yitzhara, then Rabbi Eloi makes sense. How can he chas v'shalom permit an aveira? Well, if you don't have a choice, right? Then better do a, someone's going to die in Yom Kippur and they have to eat either chalev or nevela, then they don't have a choice. So better eat the chalev than the nevela. If you don't have a choice, Rabbi Eloi makes sense. It just doesn't make sense if you have another choice. So I think what the Rif was saying is that maybe Rabbi Eloi held that you couldn't beat the Yetzer Hara in some cases. And then it makes sense. Then it makes sense. Of course it makes sense. If you can't beat the Yetzer Hara, then of course it's, what be chas v'shalom? You don't have the option of not doing an Aveira, so better to pick the smaller Aveira. But we hold you always have free will, so we reject Rabbi Eloi. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, Taka, if you're willing to put Rabbi Eloi together with a denial of free will, then Rabbi Eloi makes sense. If you don't have free will, then pick the lesser of two evils. But since we believe in free will, you can always conquer. And if you say, I can't conquer my Yitzhara, the answer is you can, it's just very hard. So I can't be mad. If you want to ask me, it's very hard to conquer my Yitzhara. Theoretically, if I gave in to my Yitzhara, what would be worse, what would be better? I can answer you. But if you're going to say, should I go and do a smaller Aveira? The answer is chas v'shalom. You should go and do no Aveira.
But how did Rabbi Eloi even say that? I mean, that's a principle that you can always, it's not a matter of, you know, on Shabbos, is this Dalet Amos?
Maybe he didn't hold from free will.
But that's
okay, so you're right. Here's where I'm speculating. The Rif doesn't say what Rabbi Eloi held. It could be that Rabbi Eloi didn't hold from free will, or it could be Rabbi Eloi held from free will, but nonetheless thought that it was mutter to a small aveira, that we could be mutter a small aveira better than a big aveira. But which way is more radical? I'm not sure. You can pick your poison.
Isn't it clear that Rabbi Eloi did hold a free will, just not in certain circumstances?
That's what I said. I said in some cases. Obviously, Rabbi Eloi holds a free will in other cases. Motzi kayif li yitzrei, just some cases are lo motzi kayif li yitzrei.
I think we know. I mean, it's obvious, in Makrut, right? The Bechira Chodesh has been taken away, and the whole tipul is to return the Bechira Chodesh.
So maybe that's where Rabbi Eloi held about this case. Okay, fair. Now, yes. Right, so Otaka, maybe there is, good point. Okay, so now I want to get to...
If we're talking about someone who's like addicted, he can't.
Maybe, okay.
It's before the tipul.
Maybe, you never know. Okay, let me just point out that many Rishonim understand in Kipshuto, right? Rashi and Tosos and Chagiga, they all understand Kipshuto. If it's Kipshuto, so why is it Mutter? So why is it Mutter do a small Aveira of Seser if they really take a Kipshuto? So I think the answer is very unfortunate in Tosos Rush here. Says the Tosos Rush, you have to understand what Rabbi Eloi was saying. He has a great formulation in Tosos Rush. He says, if you say Chas V'Shalom, what is the Rash? Chas V'Shalom Shehuter Lo Lavar Aveira. You know what? Call me prude if you want, call me old-fashioned, but I agree with the kasha of the Rach. Chas v'shalom, it's mutter for someone to do an aveira when they could conquer the Yitzhara. If you want to say some crazy thing like he was addicted or he couldn't beat his Yitzhara, he had no free will, then I understand. But that's not normal. If you want to say that it's not an actual avera, fine. But pshat is it is an avera. If you want to say it means not to be anonymous, but to humble yourself, fine. But that's not pshat of Rabbi Eli. He really means go do it, mashalibo chafetz, in private. But the Rach's right. Chas v'shalom, we believe in principles. If there's one thing that we believe in as Orthodox Jews, is that you don't just compromise and tell someone, you can do 6 aviros, just don't do 12 aviros. No. If that happens, then we feel bad for the guy and we try to understand him and relate to him, in a nice way. But you can't be matter any aviros. That's the whole point of the Torah. So the Tosas Rush has a very sharp formulation. He just points out, says the Tosas Rush here, what does he say back? He says, and he says no, but he really did mean it. Tosas Rashi says he did mean it. Rabbi Eli wasn't matred to do an avera. El klomer mutav shiasa mashal libuchavetz seiser. He was just telling him it's better. Meaning, Rabbi Eli wasn't a heter. Rabbi Eli was an etza. He wasn't saying that it's mutter to do mashal libuchavetz in private. No, he never said it was mutter. He just says that he's giving an answer. It's better to do this than to do that. But he wasn't actually being matter. He was just giving you, he doesn't use the word etza. He just says, it's not a heter. And I think that's pashut. You really can't say it's a heter. It's really hard to say it's a heter. The answer is, it was not meant as a heter, just useful advice. It's not mutter to do anything. But if you want my advice, if you're going to do something, better to do this than to do that. In which case, I don't think you can call it a heter. I think that's too radical to call it a heter. I'm not willing to violate that chas v'shalom. I'm not willing to disagree with the intuitive reaction of chas v'shalom. But what I am willing to say, Tosfos Rosh is willing to say, is that chas v'shalom is mutter to do an avera. But sometimes you can give someone advice, though it's not mutter to do either one. It's not mutter to do it at all. But if you're going to do it, better to do it this way than that way. You can give someone advice as to how to minimize transgression without being mat or something. Now, obviously, all the other Rishonim were clever enough to think of this also. This is not like some chiddush from left field. I think there might be a fundamental machlokas going on here. Can you advise, unless you want to say it's not a fundamental machlokas, it's only machlokas at the exact nuance of the language he used. But pashtus is that, no, there's a general achlokas. Can you advise someone to do a smaller avera rather than a bigger one? Or is that tantamount to a heter? And it could be that here there is a fundamental machlokas, which will be reminiscent to us of something we learned in Maseches, Sanhedrin, right? The Aaron and the Eagle and the whole Sodya. It could be that there's some fundamental machlokas of advising someone to do a smaller avera. So the Rashi in Tosos Chagiga and the Tosos Rush would say, and the Tosos Rush here would say that yes, that is a good thing. You should advise someone to do a smaller avera if they're going to do an avera anyway. What do you mean they have free will? But lamais, it seems like they're going to do an avera anyway. Advise them to do a smaller avera. And it seems like the Rach and others would say, no, that is tantamount to being matter in Avera. Right, you're legitimizing it, and you cannot. Right, so here's a question. When someone's going to do a bigger Avera, should you give them advice how to do a smaller Avera and follow Rabbi Eloi and tell them, look, obviously I don't approve of Averas. But if you're going to do it this way, not that way. Or no, that's legitimizing and that's being mater. You can say all you want, I wasn't mater. But Lemaisa, you were mater. It sounds like you were mater. They're going to understand that you were mater. People understand you were mater. And this is, by the way, Ad Hayom Hazeh, this is the big issue, right? The famous question of, right, if a girl is going to sleep around, an unmarried girl is going to sleep around anyway, should you tell her to go to mikveh first? After all, it's a much smaller affair if she goes to mikveh than if she doesn't go to mikveh, right? There's a big controversy everywhere. It's a big controversy. How do you want to say? You don't remember the Supreme Court cases, right? Can the Balanit have to let the single girl tovel or not? Right? This is really the question, right? So I think that this is totally on this. This is totally on this question. Rashi, in his own shot, and Tosos, most of the Bali Tosos would say, yeah, you know what? Tell them. Don't tell them it's okay with Achila. Don't tell them that you're a tzaddikus. But you should tell them, you know what? If you're going to do it, you should go to mikvah first, then make it better. And that's not being mater, that's just informing them of useful information. While Rabbi Chananel and Rav Haigom would send the would say, Chas v'shalom, you can't tell them that. Tell them that as being mater. Rather, now obviously maybe it depends how you tell it, etc., but at least in a stam way, telling them as being mater, and rather you can't. Rabbi Lung never meant anything of the sort. He meant something else. Or we don't possibly like him. He never meant that. This comes up, by the way, I'll just point out that this might be reminiscent to us, those of us who, if you've learned Evan Ha'ezer, of the famous Sefer Hasidim. It's the Sefer Hasidim, Simon Kuf Ayin Vav, 176. But, okay, most people don't know I'm not a Bucky in Sefer Hasidim. This Sefer Hasidim is famous because it's quoted by the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the very beginning of Evan Ezer Chaf Gimel. Evan Ezer 23, the very first Beit Shmuel on one side, Chalkot B'chokah, on the other side, quoted Sefer Hasidim. If a guy is about to do an Aveira, and is to be Boel, Nido, or Ishis Ish, or other Arayos, then better he should be Motzi Zer Levatala and calm his Yetzer Hara before he does Gilui Arayos. That's what the Sefer Hasidim says. Here it is. Misha Yitzro Mizgaber Olav. Notice the lustrum, Yitzro Mizgaber Olav, right? V'yorei pen yechta lishachi ilishkav im eishas isho im eishno nido shara rayos hasu or slow. Im yochol lehotzi zaro kadesh lo yechta. That was the question. Should he just be motzi zaro levatala in order to avoid a bigger aveira? V'heishiv lo, and the answer was, ba'osa shah yesh lehotzi, you should. Shim iev shir mutzvi shosh shil chazari al yechta be'isha. Because if it's impossible to be kofi, maybe be kofa your yates are better to do a smaller aver than a big one. Aval tzarech kapala kapara yeshiv kerf meachor for yisan arbam yom mecham. But then do kapara either, you know, sit in this in the ice in the winter or fast 40 days in the summer. Meaning it's not okay. It's not a heter, right? And this is an advice, right? And this is quoted by the Chelk B'chokin Beis Shmuel. And interestingly, some of the Nosei Kelim ask something like, for example, let me just find one line, if I can. I had a line here someplace. It says the Edom Kodesh here. He wonders, "Em hayaroy lahater? Was it roy to be matter this or not? Like, is this a proper nidches? Is this really dechuya?" And I think the answer is clear. Sefer Hasidim wasn't being matur, he wasn't being docha, he wasn't paskening that it's mutter. He was just holding like the pshat of Rabbi Lai. That, of course, it's not mutter. But, I mean, if you look at the Nosei Kelim here, some of them struggle to find ways that maybe through halachic logic you can come up with a heter here. Especially the Rav Shlomo Kluger there. But the pashut pshat is that no, he wasn't saying anything is mutter. He's saying you need to go sit in the ice and fast for kapara. He was just saying that if he alone wants to the kind of history, Yisro with Gabrilov, better to give advice to do a smaller Aveira than a bigger Aveira, not as a heter, chasvashom zuhuterlo, just that, okay, better to do a smaller Aveira than a bigger Aveira. So he clearly had like pshat in this Gemara. You can check it out. It's the first Chelkas Mechokik and Beis Shmuel on the side of Evan Ezra Simon Chaf Gimel. I'll just point out, this comes up all the time, right? Meaning, should you tell a girl to go to mikvah? Or should you not? Because you don't want to be matter anything. And likewise for many, many other cases. Okay, halacha lemaisa, I think many posts came, or Ovadia at one point, in a slightly different context. Says we pass like pshat in Rabbi Lai. And posts many of you like pshat in Rabbi Lai. But this is a very subtle issue, which, you know, no doubt in different circumstances, you know, carries different valences.
I think it carries over not only to Arayos. It's a matter of hashkafa, I think, of how rabbanos, or how do we relate to Klal Yisrael in terms of, do we try to make people feel comfortable, or say, no, ikop adin asahar, and that's the way it is.
Correct.
It's the same as tension.
Correct. And, you know, maybe feeling comfortable is a little, you know, too far for cases like this. But yeah, that's what I referred to when we learned Sanhedrin. We discussed this. Okay, this is a big issue. But one of the big locations and shots for this issue is right here.
This can also give a difference if you're telling somebody what they're going to do or if they're already involved. In other classical cases, you have a couple that they become Bali Shu, but they realize he's a Kohen and she's a Giyaris or whatever she is. And they're obviously now married, living happily together. Do you tell them, oh, stay here in the community where everybody knows, or do you maybe go move to another city, nobody knows who you are?
Right, okay.
And
so
that's
these,
a much
right, so these
more,
are all, meaning in real life, sometimes these get to be very, very difficult questions.
I'm not telling you to go do an affair with Aaron.
Right. Right, okay, so these are,
the
you're right, so these are very difficult questions, and, you know, I really think that this comes down to Machlokas, Rishonim, Gaonim, and Ar Sugya, although obviously every case is subtly different, and I know the Rav Avadya in the Tshuva, where he, and he quotes Rav Moshe also, Rav Moshe had this wild Tshuva about a place where they want to hire a Shochet, but they weren't willing to lose money for the treifas. So they weren't going to check for treifas. If they would check for treifas, they would sell it anyway. Right? The people they weren't so from. They wanted to hire the shochet, because you don't lose money hiring a shochet. It's just one salary. Right? So should he take the job and shech them, and then they'll sell it, even though it might be treifas, but at least it won't be nevela, or should he not? And Rav Moshe actually wrote to him, you should take the jobs. You should take the job. Okay. Otherwise, they would eat nevela. This way, they're only eating a suffix trefa, and even though it's not mutter, you know, you're not being mutter, you're just minimizing the isser. So these are all similar things. Rav Avadya also had a similar thing about this, you know, his famous tshuva was, how about a place where they, as Ashgach of the Ravanot, they sell meat and milk. They don't sell them together, but you could buy a hamburger and an ice cream cone. They don't sell a cheeseburger, but you could buy a hamburger and an ice cream cone. There are stores like it, even. A few years ago, there's one across the street from Shari Tzedek. They had different entrances. Ki'ilu, that, you know, maybe that made a difference. They had different entrances, different color signs. Okay, so Rav Avadya says, yes, because otherwise they would just make treif, but all of these are, you know, each case of this is subtly different, right? Because in Rav Avadya's case, a little easier. You weren't telling them to go eat hamburger and ice cream cone. You know, you were just, it's a very weak implication. But okay, these are all big questions. We'll leave it for now.
This question on my side, it's also more close. If somebody's just driving on Shabbos and stops and asks you for directions, so they says, you know, tell them the quickest way to go.
Correct. That's a similar question, right? Wait, there's another factor there of just Darkei Shalom, etc. But forget about the Darkei Shalom. Is it better to give directions to have the least driving on Shabbos so he doesn't get fabunged and drive extra, or no, because that's mafter driving on Shabbos? So you're right. All these are similar questions. Okay, continuing in the, just one thing about the rainbow. What's so bad about looking at a rainbow? What's so terrible about looking at a rainbow? They put it together with like denying that Hashem sees what you do. Better you're not born than to look at a rainbow. So first of all, we shouldn't say, it doesn't mean to look at a rainbow, it means to stare at a rainbow. Okay, but still, what's so terrible about staring at a rainbow? It doesn't seem to be up there with, what? It seems pretty, what could be bad? So interestingly, there's a Kliyakar, who I put in brackets, who says, and this is a bit of a stretch because there are other Gemaras that sound like the Ritva says, because the rainbow is like the Demus of Hashem. Why? Because in the Ma'aseh Merkava of Yechezkel, right, which we just leaned on Shavuos, although some people might have been asleep, right, it says that that when he saw like a rainbow. So therefore, staring at God, okay, that's already not respecting Hashem. You don't stare at God. Or the Demus of God. That's the Ritva. It's a little funny. You have to figure out exactly what that means. But I'll just point out that even though he's Pashup Shat, there are other words that sound that way. There's a Kli Yakar who wants to take a more...
What's the soul that the Ritva writes?
I don't know. I looked up the Ramban and I didn't understand that either. So I'm not a big enough Kabbalist. But the Kli Yakar says, maybe it's not because it's the Demus of Hashem. Rather... What do we know? We know that in the doors of Tzaddikim, what happened? What does Rashi tell us in Parshas Noah?
There's no keshet.
The rainbow didn't appear. So the Kli Yakar says, what do you mean? Isn't just refraction of light the water droplets? So you could have said it just didn't work out. But the Kli Yakar says, no. Of course the rainbow always appears. Question is whether people look at it or not. In the door of Rishon, they look at the rainbow to say, God promised not to destroy the world so we can keep getting away with what we do. In the door of the tzaddikim, no one looks at a rainbow because they're not afraid of Hashem destroying the world. What do you mean? They do the right thing. In the door of the tzaddikim, they don't look at the rainbow because they don't need a promise not to destroy the world. They deserve. They act in a way where they should deserve to have the world continue. So says the Kli Yakar, maybe that's what it means here. Mistakel l'keshes is not talking about seeing the keshes. It means mistakel l'keshes. Someone who leads a lifestyle, they have to bank on Hashem's promise not to destroy the world. That's lo chasal kvod kono. If you think the purpose of that your idea of lifestyle is to behave however you want and count on the fact that Hashem won't bring a mabul, then that's lo chasal kvod kono. Rather, you should lead your lifestyle in a way that there's a justification for the earth's existence. Okay, that's a very nice shot of the Kli Yakar. And, you know, there are other Gemaras that don't sound more like the Rikva. But it's a very nice shot of the Kli Yakar. It's not referring to what the rainbow looks like. It's referring to whether you're counting on the rainbow in your back pocket or whether you're actually acting like a human being should act. Okay, but most people assume it's a Demus of Hashem. What does that mean? I don't know the Sod. I'll just point out that Tosos Rid says in, I think I put it here from Chagiga, that what does it mean the Demus of Hashem? You think the rainbow is really the Demus of Hashem? He says something very nice. He says, the rainbow, you can't really see the rainbow. You know, you ever chase the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? But it's not really there. Not because there's no pot of gold, because the rainbow's not really there, right? It says, if you look at a rainbow, you'll see, it's like you think you're seeing it, but it's not really there. If you're ma'ayan more, you'll see that what you saw was not really what was there. And he says, that's why it's like Hashem. It's like Hashem that whatever you can see of Hashem, quote unquote, you can't really see Hashem. You can't really understand Hashem fully. You can like try and think you see a little, but if you really try to follow up on it, you'll realize that he's beyond your comprehension. So the Tosrit is a nice word. It's not that the rainbow mamish looks like Hashem. No, it's that just like Hashem, you might think you can see and grasp, but you can't really. So to the rainbow, you might think you can see and grasp it, but you can't really. And maybe the problem is, someone who's mistaken with Keshis and thinks that they really can get to the bottom of it and see things and have a grasp on things that are beyond them, so that's lo chasal kvod kono, because then they don't realize that there are things that are not really the way they seem. So that's mistaken with Keshis, you don't realize there's more than what the eyes see. That's an insult to Hashem, because just like the rainbow is really not exactly what you see, but something deeper than that, so to Hashem, whatever you think you see and understand, he's deeper than that. That's the Rid, it doesn't matter to look that way. However, the Pashup shot of the Gemara, I've tried to apologize in two ways. Kli Yakar says, it's not about the rainbow looking like Hashem, it's about the promise. Tosrit says, it's not the rainbow looks like Hashem, it's just that they're both ineffable in some sense. They're both beyond our comprehension. They're both not really physically visible. The Pashup shot is that the rainbow really looks like the Kvod Hashem. I don't know exactly what that means, and I'm not from the big Darshanim, but if I were from the Darshanim, I might point out that what's interesting about the rainbow is that it looks like a lot of different colors. But in fact, what is the rainbow? The Rishonim all knew this. It's just one white, pure light which can be refracted and turn into many different appearances. So it could be that so too, to a certain extent, that's the covet of Hashem. It looks like there's a lot of multiplicity and different midos and different powers in the world, and there's no principle of unity. But really, Hashem is the purest, just pure white light, the purest unity. Just when it gets refracted into this world, it comes out in many, many different ways. So it could be that if there is some amkos, I'm not talking about the sod, I'm talking about the level of drash and remez, not at the level of sod. But why the rainbows quote Hashem? Because it really is similar to Kvod Hashem Kiviyachol, in that what appears to be multiplicity is merely a refraction of pure unity. Okay, and we'll leave it for that and go on. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, the Olam a good Musar, Yira Adam Kilu Chetzu Chayiv Chetzu Zakai, Asim Etz Achas Asher Shechri Atzmul Kaf Sklus, Aviv Yir Achas Oylo Shechri Atzmul Kaf Chova. The Tanakhama says you should always view yourself as half and half. Okay, the Bali Musar, some of them say, well, the odds are you're not half and half. But it's good to view yourself that way for Musar. Some of them say, no. Hashem judges you in many different realms from different angles. In one angle, in some judgment, it's only Dal Perek, you're doubtless half and half. You know, maybe in judging one aspect of your life, you're not half and half. But from another aspect of your life that Hashem's thinking about now, maybe you are half and half. So he says, okay, you do one mitzvah and you get to the Kaf Schos, one Aver, the Kaf Chova. This is a great Musar about how every moment counts. Shenemar v'chote echad yova tova harbe. Okay, the Pasuk is one thing will ruin everything. You lose all the tovas for one chait. How so? It's not fair. What if I have 100 pounds on the zakos side? One chait's going to lose it? No, it means I have 100 pounds on the zakos and 100 pounds on the chov, and it's even. I'm going to lose all of that if I do one chait and tilt the scales. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon goes even further. Vayochin Yidin Achar Rubo. Also, Mitzachas Asher Shuchis Atzmus Kolo Olim Kapsukos. Over here, Achas Oilo Shuchis Atzmus Kolo Olim Kapsukos. The whole world also goes by the rope. Maybe the whole world is balanced scales. Not only you, one mitzvah will save the world, and one avir will destroy the world. Shnever v'choti echad yova tova harbe. He says tova harbe means not just your many mitzvahs. So chet yechidish yosu zeh, av minim we call ha'olam tova harbe. It means the harbe, meaning the many people of the whole world, you can ruin the whole world. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Yomar, afil tzadik gomer kol yom v'mor b'achrona ibedis rishonos. Even at tzadik gomer, if you rebel at the end of your life and go off the derech, you lose all your zechuyos. That the tzidkos of the tzaddik won't save him when he rebels. And even a Russian gomer, the flip side, if he does tshuva in the end, we don't mention any of his rishos. That he won't trip over his rishos when he does tshuva. Okay, so what do we see from here? That if you change your mind, you erase what happened beforehand, bein l'kula, bein l'chomer, right? If you do tshuva, you don't get punished for what you did beforehand. And if you do anti-tshuva, what they call now chazara b'sheila, then you don't get rewarded for all your mitzvahs. So the Gemara asks, one second, even if you go off the derech later in life, still, why do you lose your mitzvahs? I understand you get averos, so let it be half and half. You have your old mitzvahs and your new averos. Why should you lose your mitzvahs? Reish Lakish for Toel Rishonos. No, it's not just referring to someone who did Averis later. Of course, if you do Averis later, you don't lose all your Zechuyos. So it's someone who regretted doing the mitzvos, who did anti-tshuva, bizarro tshuva, right? He not only did he decide from now on to be a Rasha, he regretted ever being from and doing mitzvos. So just like tshuva, if you regret your Averis, they don't count. Likewise, if you regret your mitzvos, they also don't count. Says the Mishnah, Kol Sheyeshno v'mikra v'mishnah v'derech Eretz lo mehiru chote, whoever has Tanakh and Torah Shebaal Peh, he knows Mikra and Mishnah and Derech Eretz, he will not sin quickly. Meaning, it's always possible, but the odds are against. Shenemar v'chudam shulash lo mehiru yinateka. A threefold string will not tear easily. What's Derech Eretz mean? So here we have a bit of a lopsided machlokes. What do most people say Derech Eretz means? The Rambam? What we call Derech Eretz. Meaning good midos, getting along nicely with people, good midos, right? There is a chavrusa naim of rios. Meaning, if you learn Torah Shebechsav, you learn Torah Shebechsav, you have good midos, then the odds are you won't sin. That's what the Rambam and almost all Mefarshim say, that Derech Eretz here means midos. However, the Rishash here suggests, and the Sefer HaMakdeh brings both Pshatim, he says maybe it's like in Pirkei Avos. Yafet Talmud Torim Derech Eretz, Yigia Shnei Mashkachas Avon. Derech Eretz is a Yigia. What are you Yigia in? On work. And then likewise says the end of that mission in Pergavos, Kol Torah She'ein Imam Melacha, so Pateil Yigia Avon, right? It's clearly Melacha. Maybe Derech Eretz means work. So the Rishash suggests maybe it means work. It means if you learn Torah and work, then you won't sin quickly. If you don't work, then you'll have all kinds of financial temptations. So either it means, most people say it means Mikra, Mishnah, and Midos, although the Rishash suggests that it means Mikra, Mishnah, and work. In any case, that'll save you from sin. But whoever doesn't have any of them, now, you should ideally have all three. But b'di'eved, you have two, you have one at least, that's something, but you don't know Mikra, you don't know Mishnah, and you don't have Derech Eretz, then you're not min hayishuv. Okay, what does it mean, not min hayishuv? Here also, there's a bit of machlokes. What does the Rambam say it means, not min hayishuv? It means you don't contribute to society. Ein to'eles liyishuvo. Meaning, if you have mikra mishnah derech eretz, you could be a productive member of society in your own madriga. If you don't have mikra mishnah derech eretz, says the Rambam, not only do you not help society, he says kicking you out of society would be helpful for society, right? You're a drag, you're a parasite on society.
What? I mean, it could be passive. In other words, a person who doesn't have at least one of these things is by definition not biased. In other words, he's out. He doesn't learn, he doesn't work, so what does he do?
Okay, so correct. So I think what the Rambam says, just to concretize that, what it means is that you don't help society. You don't contribute to society. You're not a positive force in society. In a yishuv, you don't help society. However, the Ran and other Mefarshim say, what does Einam and Yishuv mean? For the Rambam, it's a political philosophy observation. Whoever doesn't have these three things, the political philosophy paskin about him, that he's not contributing to society. The Ran and others say it's not a political philosophy observation. It's a psychological observation. Einam and Yishuv means, I guess in our words we would say, He's not civilized. Ein mina yishev. It's not a political philosophy whether he helps the polis. No, he's not civilized. He has no self-respect. He's a mevuzeh, right? And that's what the Ron in the back of the Gemara here, I think, says it nicely. The very last Ron in this parak. It's interesting that we come back to the riff and Ron, because it comes back to Halacha L'maisa, not that this mission is Halacha L'maisa, but the Gemara's comment about Eidos is, he says, what does it mean? Einu min Yishuv, einu makbid al darishu kavod lo. He's not makbid on his kavod. He has no self-respect. Einu boshes panim. Right? And he has no inhibitions. Meaning, it's an uncivilized person. Okay, what's the nafkamina of this? So the Gemara later on says, just skipping the second last line, Amar Rav Yochanan hu pasul Eidos. He's pasul Eidos. Whoever does that mikra mission derech eretz is pasul Eidos. Why is he pasul Eidos? So here's an interesting question. Why is he pasul Eidos? We say two things about him, right? One is that eino min hayishuv, and two is pasul Eidos. The Gemara says eino min hayishuv. The Gemara says the Mishnah says eino min hayishuv. The Gemara says pasul Eidos. According to the Ran and others, says the Ran, eino min hayishuv means that he's uncivilized. And that's why. And therefore, Pasul Eidos. I'm looking for a better word than uncivilized. Like, he just has no self-respect. If he has no self-respect, uncivilized, he has no self-respect. If he has no self-respect, he's Pasul Eidos. Why? Because what's the main reason someone wouldn't lie when they give Eidos? Is the main reason they're afraid of being caught and punished for perjury eidzoming? Maybe, but usually people don't get caught as an eidzoming. Is the main reason because they're afraid of going to hell? I don't know, a lot of people, like, don't worry about them. I know a lot of people who don't worry about what's going to happen a year from now, or 2 years from now. Certainly, they're not worried about what's going to happen after 120. The main reason is because people have a certain social image of themselves. You know, if A, they don't want people to look at them as a liar, and B, they don't want to look at themselves as a liar because they have a certain image. They're a civilized, respectable person. He's not respectable. Maybe that's the word. He's not respectable. Ein min hayishuv. He's not respectable. If someone's not respectable, then you have to suspect them of lying. You have to respect them of giving false testimony. Because then the person has no self-image, which would cause him to do the right thing. He's not worried about what people think about him. He's not worried about what he thinks about himself. The words that Hebrew says, you know what we tell Adam to warn them not to give false testimony? It's interesting psychological insight. We tell them, you should know that people who are hired to give false testimony, not only do we think look down on them, the person who hires them looks down on them. Everyone looks down on someone who testifies falsely. Yeah, it's not a respectable thing to do. Where's your self-respect? Okay, but the guy has no self-respect. Then midrabanan, I admit it's midrabanan. Midrabanan is choshed on false testimony. That is the Ran. The Rambam takes a different approach. Says the Rambam, einim neyishav means that he doesn't contribute. Okay, just because he doesn't contribute, then why should we puzzle Eidos?
Doesn't the Rambam say like the Ran?
What?
Doesn't the Rambam say like the Ran?
No, that's in Halacha Hey, that's not in Halacha Aleph. Give me a second. Says the Rambam, I think the Rambam views it as not exactly the exact same psychological observation. Rather, for the Rambam, for the Ran, he's Bechlal the Psul Drabonin of Mevuzah. Okay, I did not leave myself enough room here. This is the Psul of Bezuyin. Psula Bezuyin. That's the Ran. He's a bazoi. He's not respectable. In the Rambam Mishnah Torah, Perek Yud Aleph, in Hilchas Eidos, says the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Hey, if I'm not mistaken, starts talking about Bezuyin. Hey, V'cheina Bezuyin Psula Eidos Midavreihem. The Bezuyin are Pasul Eidos Midarabonim. But that's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Aleph. Misha ain't a little mikro lewish with derech eretz. Why is he pasul? Not because he's it not has no respectability. Because it says Bechezkas Rosho Apostolates with Ephraim, because Minastami does a Veros. Anyone who does that Mikra, he says it's a Pol Yotze at the beginning of the Mishnah. If he has Mikra, Mishnah, and Derech Eretz, he won't do a Veros. If he doesn't have any of them, anyone who's all three, lo b'mheira hu chote. What about anyone who's zero of three? B'mheira hu chote, right? So therefore, he's Bechezkas Rosho. It's Shekomi Shiorat Kacha, Zokishu over a row of Avir Shabbat Yavo Liyado. Right, he's Bechezkas Rasha. So for the Rambam, this is a psul of Rasha, or a Bechezkas psul of Rasha. He's not Mamash Rasha Midoraisa. It's just an assumed Rasha. Midoraisa, we don't assume, but Min Hastam over Averos. So for the Rambam and the Ran have a fundamental machlokas, what's going on here? Is this a psul of lack of respectability, or is this a psul of Averos? For the Rambam, we assume he does Averos. For the Ran, he just has no respectability. He has no self-respect. So for the Ran, Yishuv means no self-respect. The psul is no self-respect. For the Rambam, Yishuv means doesn't contribute to society. The psul is because he does Averos. And so how does Yishuv lead to the psul? The answer is, comes from Reisha of the Mishnah. The psul comes from the Reisha of the Mishnah. These three things keep you from Averos. If you don't have these three things, then you do Averos. And the psul is because of Averos. So two totally different ways of understanding what the nature of this guy who has no Mikra, Mishnah, or Derech Eretz is.
Machlokas in Tzachek B'kubia, according to the Tzad, that it's Eno Yosef Yosef.
Right, so you'd be tempted to tie in this Rambam to the Bekubya and Eno Yosef Yeshua Shal Olam, which the Rambam does not do. I mean, he doesn't say because he doesn't do Yeshua Shal Olam. But that's probably because the Rambam Sachet Bekubya actually said, there's a lot of contradictions in that Rambam. It's a very hard study we're not getting to now. But he seems to emphasize more the fact that it's a Gezel Midrabban, it's a Smach Delokanya, and less the fact that Yosef Yeshua Shalom, otherwise that would have been very tempting. So I also had that Havanita. When I read the Rambam, I'm like, okay, I know how this is going to end. But it didn't end that way, maybe because the Rambam doesn't emphasize that so much.
If it's not doing that, it's Moshe Avleitzi. Moshe Avleitzi was Apostle Leitis. He has a Paris Mishnah.
Right, well, read me his Lashon. Right, okay. So he's Moshe Avleitzi, maybe that Moshe Avleitzi is hinting what he says. He just does bad things instead, and then he's Apostle Leitis good. Okay. Fensky, when you have a chance, please.
It's a troop soul in a person. Versus the Rambam, he doesn't buy into the social contract. So in society saying you can't not buy in general, then buy in and be an aid. Inconsistent.
Right, although that's not the way the Rambam goes in the Mishnah Torah, when he says just Bechezkas that he does the Averus in the Torah. But you're right, I mean, if I only had the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis, I think there'd be a lot of ways to take it, which are all logical. Lemaisa, I think the Rambam ends up using the Reish of the Mishnah to get the Psal Eidus. Why he doesn't say any of these other theories, Yesh La'ayin. Okay, now I want to get to the, one more line of Gemara. This next Gemara we already mentioned in Daf Lamed Tesem Beis. Right, Amr Rabbi Elazar Tzadok, Lamatz Tzadikim Dim Shalom Olam Zel, Inlan Shifulu Om Bakum Tara, Nofa Nofa Bakum Toma, Nixas Nofa Kulu Om Bakum Tara, Kach Gadosh Baruch Hu, Mevi Shurol Tzadikim Olam Zel, Hishi Yirashu Ha'olam Habash, and Amr Rabbi Yirashu Yisqam Yitzar, Vachri Yisqay Yisgem Od, Ula Marashan Dom Olam Zel, Inlan Shifulu Om Bakum Toma, Nofa Nofa Dil Bakum Tara, Nixas Nofa Kulu Om Bakum Toma, Kach Gadosh Baruch Hu, Shvi Ilam Tova, Lursham Balom Zel, Kedil Tordal, Rishon Ladrigi Dachtona, Shenema Yishnev, Yashal De Yishra, Rishon Darki Mavos. Okay, three shiurim ago, we already analyzed this at length. Now here comes the most famous part of the end of the first fair contribution. For Hayu Rabbi Tarfon is a kingdom of Subim Balias Beit Natsa Balut. Vinishal Shil Zum Tneim Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol. Right, much better. Do mitzvahs of the Lord Torah. Nen Rabbi Tarfon Gadol or Maisa Gadol. Nen Rabbi Kiva or Talmud Gadol. Nen Kuli Yomer, what's the Psak Halacha? Talmud Gadol Shal Talmud Mevi Lidei Maisa. Right, okay, really this seems like a Psak Hashkafa, although the Meiri says that this is actually Psak Halacha. We want to know if you're learning, and you're here to do a mitzvah to do, should you go to the mitzvah, should you keep learning? Okay, Talmud Gadol, you should keep learning. Tanya, Yossi, how great is learning Torah? Gadol Talmud, Shigam L'chala, Ram Shana. We know learning Torah is great after all. Chal is a mitzvah, and we started learning Torah 40 years before Chal, because we weren't chayim Chal until we entered Eretz Yisrael. We started learning Torah at Har Sinai 40 years before the desert. So that shows that Talmud is chashuv. L'trumos u'maisros chamishim v'arba, and it was 54 years before trumos or maisros, because we weren't chayiv trumos or maisros, chala, there's a lot of lumdus to this, but it's not our, so you have chala, they were chayiv as soon as they set foot in Israel. Trumos or maisros only after sheva shanim shech kibshu v'sheva shech chilku, 7 years conquering, 7 years dividing, so that's 54. L'shmitim shish v'achas, and then they started counting Shemitah, but it wasn't for another 7 years, so that's 61 years. L'yoglos mea v'shalosh, and then they started counting Yovel, so it wasn't for another 49 years, 54 plus 49 is 103. Whereas, hold on, mea v'shalosh, mea v'arba hagin. What do you mean it's 104? It's 50 years Yovel, not 49. Kasarva Yovel mitchalasu v'mishamet. No, he holds, the simple pshat is we hold, that Yovel is mishamet at the beginning, meaning when do the slaves go free and the fields return? In Yom Kippur, at the beginning of Yovel. And therefore, it wasn't really 104 years, because you didn't need the 50th year. After the 49 years, Yom Kippur came, and it was Yovel. Some of them say, as opposed to Shemitah, which didn't happen till the end of the 7th year, because it's not referring to not working the land. It's referring also to forgiving the debts. And forgiving the debts only happens at the end of Shemitah. So forgiving debts is the end of Shemitah, but returning the land and the Avadim is the beginning of Yovel. So it all works out. The Gemara adds, "Ukashem shalimud kodem l'maisa, kach dino kodem l'maisa." Just like the limud comes first, likewise you're judged after your meiva esrom for limud first. Kidram amnuna, the ramnuna in tchilas dinu shalom el divrei Torah. Your first judgment in heaven is for learning Torah. Shenemar poter mayim reishas madon. Poter mayim refers to Torah. If you exempt yourself from learning Torah, reishas madon, that's the beginning of your din. Beginning of your din is if you didn't learn Torah. Shem shadino kodem l'maisa, kach sur kodem l'maisa. Just like you judge and punished before for limud for ma'isa, like those get rewarded for limud for ma'isa. Shenemar be'itin lam arzus goyim. Says Hashem gave the Jews the lands of many nations. Ba'amalu'uvin yershu, and they inherited the work, the produce of nations. Why? Ba'var yishmu chukav torotav yinsaru. And we darshan yishmu was always a lashon of mishnah, of learning, of remembering, because they learned the Torah to yinsaru. Yinsaru is a lashon of keeping, and they kept. So we see the chashivas of Talmud very clearly in our sugya. Okay, as you know, this is a big issue on Hayom Hazeh, right? What's greater, Talmud or Maisa? So it seems to be a very clear psak in our Gemara that Talmud is greater. However, this is one of these very fascinating Gemaras. It seems to be that sometimes they write very fascinating formulations for sure on purpose in order to make you think deeper about something. On the one hand, Gadol Talmud, right? Learning is greater. On the other hand, learning is greater because it leads to Maisa. So then, Maisa is greater because that's the goal, right?
If somehow you knew without learning, so then...
Correct. Okay. So this is a big machlokes, which comes up in a lot of philosophical course that I brought you, but first comes up in the Kasha of Tosos here, based on the Rashi in the Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Yud Zayin and Aleph, the very end, if I recall correctly, of the first parak of Bava Kamma, talks about, it's a total tangent, it talks about the kavod that they did at the funeral of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So it says they put a Sefer Torah on his bier, and they say, okay, that's not such a big kavod. Oh, they say that he fulfilled what it's written in here. Okay, so that's a big deal. That we don't do that for anyone else. They took a Sefer Torah, put it down. Next one says he did what it says here. Okay, then the Gersa might be the Rabbi Rechana was walking with Rabbi Yochanan to ask him about a sugya, and Rabbi Yochanan went to the bathroom, and we wanted to ask something. He would not answer us till he washed the Tehillat Shadayim after the bathroom, put his tefillin back on after the bathroom, and said the bracha, and then he would. Then he told us, and our gear says, "Afilu ki marin limud l'orina." No, maybe nowadays we would say that someone kept the whole Torah, but we wouldn't say learning the whole Torah. That's unique, higher level praise of Chizkiyah. So learning is a higher level praise. That's the pashim shot of the Gemara than doing. Then the Gemara asks, "Is that really true?" V'ha'amamar gadol limud haTorah shall limud maybe the Maisa. Lo kasha halig mor halag marinhu. Don't we say Gadol Talmud Shemeivud Leimaisa? Oh, that didn't mean learning for yourself and teaching others. So this is a very mysterious Gemara. We're not sure exactly what it means. Let's take how Rashi reads it. Right? It's a very hard Gemara, and it's especially hard just because the Tosos on Ardaf Dafka, as opposed to the Tosos there, has confusing formulations, which if anyone got a chance to look at the Marsha in brackets, he struggled with. Not everyone came to the same conclusion, but everyone struggled. So, let's see if we can make some sense out of this. Says Rashi. Rashi's basic mahalach is, what comes out of our Gemara? What's greater in our Gemara? What's more chashuv in our Gemara, Liman or Maisa? What does Rashi say there? Maisa is more chashuv, right? And that's what. And what does Rashi say here? He says, you know what? Gadol Talmud. He says, Gadol Talmud nimtu shnei b'yado, because it leads to Maisa and you have Maisa and Talmud, right? But Rashi says, here's Rashi in Bava Kama, that what is the real, what is more chashuv? What is more chashuv? What's more chashuv is Maisa. After all, if A leads to B, then B is the ikker. A is just the means. The end is more chashuv than the means. So Rashi's a Maisa man. Now, what he adds is that that Maisa is more chashuv. Here, how do we interpret the Gemara in Bava Kama? The Gemara in Bava Kama tells us Maisa is chashuv. If Maisa is chashuv, then what's the kasha in Bava Kama? That what the stira is to what fact? The stira is to the fact that kiyem amrinan limed lo amrinan, which means that limud is more chashuv. That's the stira, right? That's the stira. And what's the answer? The answer in Bava Kama is that there's three dargas. Is that lelamed achirim is top, maisa is second, and lilmod ba'atzmo is third. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara Bava Kama. In the end, maisa beats limud. Maisa is more chashuv than limud. Right? Maisa is more chashuv than limud. Very poshut. Right? And therefore, the upshot is that maisa is more chashuv. Is that maisa is more chashuv than limud? Okay. Very simple. Yeah, Argmar says Gadol Talmud because it leads to the more chashuv thing. Right? But maisa is more chashuv than limud. Tosos is bothered by this. Why? Because that's against our Gemara. What did our Gemara say? Talmud Gadol. It didn't say Talmud is useful. It says Talmud is Gadol. Right? So Tosos did not like that shot. Sorry. So Rabbeinu Tam there, Tosos there, let's start with Tosos there, because that's simpler than Tosos here. Rabbeinu Tam gave a different shot. What was Rabbeinu Tam's shot? Says Rabbeinu Tam in Tosos and Bava Kama, he says, no, clearly in our sugya, what's more chashuv? Talmud's more chashuv. If Talmud's more chashuv, then what's the stira? The stira is kiyem amrinan limed lo amrinan, which implies, though, Talmud is more chashuv, but let's add one thing. Talmud is more chashuv, but Talmud is maybe l'day maisa. Therefore what? Anyone who does maisa, what must they have already done?
Limud.
Right? But anyone who does maisa must have already learned. Okay. Talmud is more chashuv, but chronologically, whoever does maisa must have already learned. So therefore, what's the stira? The stira is if we say ki amrinan limud lo amrinan, that implies that he did without learning. that there's such a thing as someone who does without learning, right? This implies that there can be someone who did Maisa without learning. That's the steer. It's not about Hashivos. It's just about logical implication. Our Gemara implies that Talmud is Chashav, but logically, whoever did Maisa must have done Talmud. That Gemara says, we tell them Kiyem, but we don't say he was Limeid. That implies he was Kiyem v'lo Lamad. Hold on, how can you be Kiyem v'lo Lamad? How could you do it if you didn't learn first? And the answer is that, no, they didn't mean to learn for himself. They mean to teach. Obviously, you could do Maisa and not teach, right? So it says, L'lameid la'acherim is more chashuv than Maisa. But Limud is also got to be Maisa. But just anyone does Maisa already did Limud. So there's no point talking about what's more, you know. L'lameid la'acherim more chashuv than Maisa, but anyone who does Maisa certainly also learned. Right? So that's why there's no point at someone's funeral discussing is it more chashuv they learned or did Maisa? Because if they did Maisa, mistama they learned. What's the point discussing at a funeral is that they taught others. So here we have, what's the upshot? The upshot, according to Tosfos, according to Rabbeinu Tam here, is that Talmud is more chashuv than Maisa. Talmud is more chashuv than Maisa. And teaching others is more chashuv than Maisa. Right? And teaching others is more chashuv than Maisa. But whoever did Maisa automatically did Limud. Okay, that's Tosos. The She'iltos has a different approach. She'iltos is a total reworking of the sugya, which the Ritva here says with a little knitch. What does the, or actually before we get to Sheltos, let's look at the Yesh Meforshim here. Says the Yesh Meforshim here. Now it's not exactly clear. We'll just take the Lashon literally in Tosos here. Says the Yesh Meforshim in Tosos here. Says the Yesh Meforshim in Tosos Kedushin. Here it gets a little tricky. He says that really, we learn from the Gemara in Bava Kamma that Maisa is more chashuv than Talmud. Maisa is more chashuv than Talmud. Right, so he really says the same as Rashi. Truth is, he's really the same as Rashi. So let's just put here. So why does, what?
Don't some of the regional understand that defending Rashi?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So why does our Gemara say Talmud is gadol? Why is Talmud gadol if Maisa is really more chashuv? If it's better to do a Maisa than to learn, then why is Talmud gadol? So Tosa says, like, what's greater, Talmud or Maisa? So Tosa says, no problem. What does it mean Talmud gadol? Here it means no. For someone who's young, then Talmud Godol, because it leads to much Maisa, right? That's what our Gemara means. Our Gemara doesn't mean Talmud is more chashuv. It just means, as Tosa says, Anshul Lamed Adayin Bali Malach and Yomot Kli Yasim Maisa. He wants to know, should he learn or should he do? You have to learn in order to know what to do. But someone who's old and knows Torah already, then it's more important to do Maisa. Says, for Rashi, who really thinks Maisa is more chashuv, so why does our Gemara say Talmud Gadol? The answer is Talmud Gadol for someone who doesn't yet have a Jewish education, because it'll lead to Maisa. But let's say someone who's already Zakin Muflag, already knows Kalatar Kula, hey, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do Begis above your own light and keep up your learning, Chazer. But what's more important? Then it's more important to do Maisa than Talmud, right? This actually is the practice of a lot of poskim say, oh, when a kid's young, you should keep him in yeshiva and just learn Torah and not worry about going out there and fixing the world. Then when you get older, you'll have time to fix the world. Okay, that's Mefurish Yesh, Mefurish Mitosos, based on Rashi. That really the upshot is that Mice is greater. Argamar just means when you're young, you should start with learning because it'll lead to Mice. But really, Mice is greater. As opposed to Rabbi Thomas says, no, really, Talmud's greater. And that stira is not about what's greater and what's not greater. Now, okay, the Artosos is a little tricky, because Artosos also goes to Rina Tam, but at the very end throws in one line that says, Maisa Adif, Mice is actually better than Talmud. So here's where it's unclear, maybe he means a Labdavki, he means the same thing as Rina Tam, Babakama. The Marsha has a funny Pshat in Artosos, I mean, not funny, Meduyik Pshat in Artosos says, Tosos starts off like Rina Tam, like sort of until here, but then ends off like Rashi. So Tosos thinks like the cash in Bava Kamma is like Rina Tam, but the answer he admits to Rashi, okay, Ayin Sham if you want.
Maisa means mitzvos.
Yes.
Are we talking about, or you can make the difference, mitzvos ase, mitzvos los ase?
L'chora, we're talking about mitzvos ase, about doing things. L'chora, I would stick with that. Okay, we'll learn maybe one more pshat, which is the Shiltos. The Shiltos, I actually put it on the Makor sheet, even though it's quoted by Tosos. He says that what's more chashuv in our Gemara? Our Gemara is very clear that Talmud is more chashuv. Ah, then what's the stira, right? Basically, our Gemara sounds like Talmud is more chashuv. But then what's the stira? It sounds like the stira is to Talmud be more chashuv. So how could Talmud be more chashuv? Be a stira to Talmud be more chashuv. So Rashi says, our Gemara says Mice is more chashuv. That's why it's a stira. The stira is not on the chashivas level, it's on the technical level of what someone might have done, what they might not have done. Says Shiltos a totally new pshat. Says the Shiltos, Talmud's more chashiv. What's it a stira? It's not at all a stira. He changes the girsa. What the Ritva tries to do is rescue the Shiltos with the girsa. Says, they're no longer talking about Chizkiah's funeral. Rather, we're talking about Yochanan's behavior. When he went to the bathroom, we asked him a shaila, what did he do? He washed his hands and put on tefillin and said the bracha and then answered us. Why did he put on tefillin before answering us? Shouldn't he answer us first because Talmud is gadol? So that shows Mice is gadol, exactly. So the stira had nothing to do with Kiyum Arminu Lima Lo Arminu. The stira is to, I think it was Rabbi Yochanan, right? Lavash tefillin ve'achar kach heishiv Al She'elat Talmidav. He first put on tefillin and then answered his students' kashas. So what does that prove? That proves that Maisa comes first. So our Gemara says Talmud Gadol, and that Gemara says Maisa comes first. So that's a stira. You mean the opposite stira. The way Rabbeinu Tam read, Rashi read, is our Gemara says Maisa is chashev, but the story with Chizkiah says Talmud's chashev. Says no, our Gemara says Talmud's chashev, but Yochanan's behavior said Maisa is chashev. What the Ritva did is try and like also stick in something at Lamad and Kiyam, but he reads it a little differently. He says that, and Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that at Chizkiah's funeral they said he kept the Torah, but didn't say he learned Torah, because that's not so chashev. So he also builds this into Maisa coming first. Right, so I'll just add the Ritva.
Why is that a question? It's not a stira. He held that tefillin, you can't do it, you have to wear your tefillin all the time. You can't do anything with your tefillin. And limud and maisa and limud is what they're contradictory. Here he was, they're clearly there. He had to put on his tefillin and then answer them.
Okay, that's what the other Rishonim say. The other Rishonim ask, forget the Shiltos. How does everyone else explain why he put on his tefillin first? And the answer is because you have to do both of them, and in the end you're going to spend the same amount of time doing both of them. You might as well learn Torah while wearing tefillin. Okay, good kasha. Apparently the Shiltos is not bothered by it. We'll come back to it in a second. Then what's the answer? According to the Shiltos, what's the answer? The stira is, in Gemara Kiddusha, we said Talmud is gadol, and Aliyah states not Savalut. But yet, Rabbi Yochanan's behavior proves that Maisa is gadol. So here he has the opposite Sulam Arachim of Rashi. He says, no, this is only teaching and learning. But what's greater? Lilmo Ba'atmo is greater than Maisa. Maisa comes next, and Lilamed Acherem comes last. Why? Argamar says learning is greater than doing. But Rabbi Yochanan did, not before he learned, He did before he answered his Talmidim Shailas. He did before he taught. So Maisa comes before teaching others, and learning comes before Maisa. Now here, I didn't put this on the Makoros. Okay, and because the hour is late and we don't have another Shir Maseches Kiddushin, I could go into a lot more technical detail and put the Marsha on the board and put the Ritva on the board. But I'm not going to, because I think these are the fundamentally different ways of understanding it. Everything else is just technical details. What's strange about the Shiltos? Anyone uncomfortable with the Shiltos? Yeah, like, isn't that against, like, our whole, like, Hashkafa? The Tosos written Bava Kamma there says, Lo Nahira. How could it be that learning, forget about Maisa, learning yourself is two steps above teaching others? Really? Like, that's what we believe in? Like, you should be selfish and only care about your own religiosity and other people's? What about Mzakas or Rabin? Right?
But should most... You have nothing to tell them if you don't learn.
Yeah, how can you teach them if you don't know?
So clearly one thing in the Shiltos I think is very clear. Is that this is the Rid's Kasha. The Rid right there in Bava Kamma says, I'll read you the Lashon. Says the Rid there, Lo Nahira, Lomar de la Atzma Odavi Lamed Acherim, Sherim Zakat Aram. How can it be learning yourself is better than teaching others? So I think one thing is very clear in the Shiltos. You have to change the Siach. You have to change what we're talking about. Is he talking about what's more Chashuv, the Shiltos? Is the Shiltos talking about what's more Chashuv? Again, for everyone else, they're definitely talking about what's more chashuv. They're talking about what you say at funerals. That's a matter of chashivas. For the Shiltos, is the question what's more chashuv, or is the question much more simple?
What comes first?
Chronology. Right? Meaning, and this goes back to what Morty said. Can you deduce chashivas from Rabbi Yochanan? I don't know. Does it prove what's more chashuv? Maybe not. It's just what comes first. So I think for the Shiltos, to answer the question of... As the Tosos Rid says the Rid in Bava Kamma, if we're talking about chashivas, then it doesn't make sense. I refuse to own the Sefer Shiltos in my house. If you'd really hold that it's more chashuv to only care about your own learning Torah and not to care about the rest of the world. No, it can't be that your own learning is two steps more important than teaching the rest of the Jewish people. That's not what we believe in. Rather, to answer the Tosos Rid, is Pashut, you have to say, our Gemar just meant Talmud comes first chronologically. You learn first. And then it's the theater of Yochanan, because remember, once he took away the Liman and Kiyim and made it about Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't making philosophical statements. Just what did he do first? Put on tefillin or answer shaylas. And then it makes perfect sense that this is talking about chronology. The answer is that for the Shiltos, not for Rashi, Shiltos holds the topic is chronological order, not philosophical importance. The topics.
Isn't that pshita that you have to learn in order to do maisa?
Yes, and that is pshita, and that's what our Gemara meant.
And that's what the Chachamim were very deep.
What you're saying is, good point. Let me just come back then a second. What are we talking about? What we're talking about is first learn, then do, then teach others. That's a good chronological order. Not a matter of what's more chashuv. But first you have to learn, because if you don't learn, you can't do any of the other things. Right? That's obvious. Then do. Maybe because, you shouldn't be a hypocrite. You should practice what you preach. First practice and then preach. First learn, otherwise you can't practice or preach. Then you can practice or preach. So the answer is practice before you preach. I might not have known that on my own, but that's a very reasonable psach. That do mitzvahs before you teach everyone else, after all.
That's
pshita, good. Yehuda actually asked now, but if you go back to our sugya is talking about what comes first and not about philosophical importance, then why is there a machlokas here whether Talmud comes first or Maisa comes first? So I would have to answer one of two ways. Either A, maybe the original discussion was not about what comes first. But the psak was lamaisa, do Talmud first. Maybe they were discussing more philosophically, but then when it came down to, they all said, you know, regardless of the philosophy, do Talmud first. Or it could be that maybe the Talmud looks at Talmud or Maisa first, because even though we paskin einam aretz chassid, that how can you do if you don't learn? But it could be there's a tzad to say that maybe there were those chacham who felt, no. If you just learn, it's going to be intellectual. It's not going to sink in. First, get used to doing mitzvos and get the experience, and then your learning will be more significant. And we say, no, you learn first.
That's a practical thing over there. Back in, now, it's not a problem. Back, I remember when I was a kid, there were teachers who had come from Europe that weren't so machpid anymore. Could they be teachers? They knew a lot. Could they be a teacher?
Right.
If you don't have Maisa, can you go to the...
Right, class? Okay, good. So that's a big question, and, you know, this is a sub-question of that.
This might also depend on the Gemara, the Gerson Argamara. I mean, the Gerson we have is that Amru Kulam, they all said that, or Nimdu Vigo Amru. And that would make sense in terms of what Rilish does. Like, then they came to this consensus. But some Rishonim quoted that as Rabbi Kiva then said this line. And then if it was Rabbi Kiva explaining the sheet of why Talmud is first, so what did it make?
Okay, fair enough. Now, we don't have much time left. I want to, in a few minutes, just sort of summarize these really dvarim ha'omdim beruma shel olam, what's going on here, and on two levels. Number one, I want to say, what does it mean? Basically, says Rashi from our Gemara, the Sheiltos basically takes our Gemara and makes it into just a matter of chronological order. And then it makes a lot of sense. Says Tosfos in the Yeshiva Farshim, Rashi also would say, our Gemara is just talking about like what you should do when you're a kid chronologically. Should you go to Yeshiva first or go save the world first? Go to Yeshiva first and save the world when you're older. But it's not talking about Chashivos. What's in terms of Chashivos here? So here we have Machlokas Rashi Minutav. Is Talmud more Chashav or is Maisa more Chashav? That's a very fundamental philosophical distinction. On the one hand, Rashi has a good point. Rashi says it must be that Talmud is more, that Maisa is more Chashav, because Talmud is the means and Maisa is the end. So the end is more Chashav than the means. But this is really not so Pashut. If you look at our Gemara, what does it mean? Godol Talmud, Sheha Talmud, Mevi, Lide Maisa. You could understand that in three ways. One way is that really the whole reason why Talmud is great is only because it leads to Maisa. Talmud is only important because it leads to Maisa, right? That's what the Rosh says in Moikaton. Eino ela letzorech kiyum ha-mitzvos. The Me'iri of Moikaton says something similar. Ikara lidias kiyum shar mitzvos. Talmud is really only a heksher of Maisa. That really supports Rashi. Very strongly. And the Sheiltos also says here, he says, on the one hand, maybe Maisa is better because the Medrash Ikar El or Maisa. On the other hand, Talmud is better because without the Talmud, you won't know how to do the Maisa. Look at the two sides. Talmud is good because without it, you can't get to Maisa. Or Maisa is good because it's the Ikar. Clearly, Maisa is more the Ikar, and Talmud Torah is not the yeshivish approach nowadays. I'm not claiming to only learn the yeshivish approach nowadays. I want to learn everything in our Masorah. But there is clearly an approach that sees Talmud as merely a heksher of Maisa. Talmud is just a heksher of Maisa, right? There's a Rav Sadigon, I put in brackets here, who discusses, like, is it better to be a hermit and sit in a cave and learn Torah, or is it better to go out there in the world to do mitzvos? And he says, it's better to do mitzvos, because mitzvos are important. And if you say, maybe I'll learn a lot of Torah and then I'll paskin for people, says, yeah, but if you paskin for people, they're doing the real avodah and you're just helping. Wouldn't you rather do the avodah than just help? So he clearly sees Maisa as secondary to Talmud. So one approach is that what is the purpose of Talmud Torah? I'll apologize to everyone I ask you to bear with me for another few minutes. I'll try and just summarize this as quickly as I can. Maybe the purpose of Talmud Torah is only to lead to mitzvos. This is what I have from the Tosfos Rosh Moed Katan, and that's what it sounds like from the Sheiltos, and that's really what it sounds like from that Rav Sadigon that I quoted, the Me'iri, Rav Sadia going, that's a clear voice in our Masorah. However, there's a famous, okay, we are the Masorah from the Soloveitchik family, from Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. So Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik got his Masorah from Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. The Beis Halevi is this famous, probably the most famous Beis Halevi on Torah, where he says, what is Nasa V'Nishma? Why'd they get two crowns for Nasa V'Nishma? One for knowing the Torah is going to lead to mitzvos. You can't deny the Torah leads to mitzvos. And the other, because learning Torah is important in and of itself. It's an independent goal of learning Torah. And he even goes so far as to say, he says, that's Nasa V'Nishma. What's Nasa V'Nishma? Nasa V'Nishma is a different pshat than usual. We will do all the mitzvos, and then we'll keep learning Torah. After you did the mitzvos, why don't you just learn Torah? You already did the mitzvos. You already know how to do the mitzvos. He says, no, no. Nasa, first we'll learn the Torah and learn how to do the mitzvos and do mitzvos. But then Israel will keep learning Torah even after we don't need to know the mitzvos anymore. Even for things that don't apply to Zmanazah. Even for situations that won't come up. Remember, the Gaonim were not so into this. The Chovos HaLevavos, everyone remember the dummy says, some guy came to the obscure Shaila at Hilchos Gittin and I said to him, what are you asking about things that aren't relevant? Why don't you learn something relevant? Beis HaLevi says, no, la'afuke from that. He says, the Chovos HaLevavos forgot Nasa V'Nishma. Or just disagree with this shot, obviously. Says, Nasa V'Nishma means Nasa, we'll learn as a hechsher to doing. V'Nishma will learn Lishma as a goal in and of itself. It's not just a means. It's an end in and of itself. So here, he's saying it is a means. While the Beis HaLevi says it's a means. Clearly, you can't deny that it's maybe Levi'sa, but it's also an end. And also, and more importantly, an end, says the Beis HaLevi, very famously, he says it is also and more importantly, an end in and of itself. And he even says very harshly, what does it mean the punishment of Lobirchu b'Torah Tchila? He doesn't discuss the word in the Dharma, which says it led to Korban. He just discusses why some people don't grow up to become Yicham because their fathers don't say Birchu Torah. He says, what's Birchu Torah? He says, ah, you don't say a bracha on a hefshir mitzvah. You don't say a bracha on a means. You only say a bracha on an end. Whoever would learn Torah without Birchu Torah is showing it's just a means that they hold like that Tosos Rush and that Shiltos. No, if you don't say something, then you only view it as a means. Then your kids are not going to tell me Chumash. You say Birchu Torah is to show that it's an end, not just a means. And even though it seems like this is an idea that was invented by the Achronim, you know, like, oh, all of a sudden, Beis HaLevi came up with this idea that that Talmud Torah is an end and not just a means, but it has very deep roots in Chazal. I can't give you a list now. It's too many to list every sugya that talks about how important every word of learning Torah is. But the Yerushalmi and Peah here, right? This is basically the Bavli on Peah Aleph Aleph. We take all the two sets of designs from Peah and analyze them. But the Yerushalmi there says, has one day that says, everything in the world, all the gold and silver and jewels in the world is not worth one word of Torah. Not only that, they say, every mitzvah in the world is not worth, even all the mitzvahs are not worth one word of Torah. And the Gra, in Ishnos Eliyahu on the Mishnah's page there, says, and that's why Torah is so great, because every word of Torah is greater than all the other mitzvahs. So if you sit for an hour, you might say thousands of words. It's like 1,000 times all the other mitzvahs together. Chazal clearly have this idea, if it was just a way to like know the halacha, it's hard to imagine that every word be greater. How can it be greater than all the mitzvahs? It's just a means to the mitzvahs, right? It sounds like that there's a good makor for this Beis HaLevi in the Yerushalmi and Peah. And I don't mean there's not other makors in Chazal. There's many places in Chazal they talk about how great Talmud Torah is. And in many of them, it sounds like it's not only great because it's a means to an end. It's an end in and of itself. And this is a very fundamental machlokas. Is it a means to an end? Or is it an end? Is it a means to an end? Or is it an end in and of itself? Let me just point out that this would affect two sugyas. Number one, in terms of the Gemara and Bava Kamma, this would work well for Rashi's pshat, and this would work well for Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. For Rashi, yeah, it's only a means. Of course, Maisa is really greater. Maisa is the end. But for Rabbeinu Tam, maybe it's not only a means. Maybe it's also an end, and therefore it's really great. Of course, one thing we have to explain is, two things we have to explain, is our Gemara says, Talmud Gadol, Shat Talmud Mevelidi Maisa. Isn't that mafurish like one side of the Chakira? How about Talmud Gadol Sheha Talmud Mevi Lide Maisa. Doesn't that sound exactly like the Rashi side of the Hakira? So here, it's Nicha. That really sounds like, you know why Talmud is great? Practically, it comes first. It's very useful. You should put a lot of resources into it because it's a means to this great end. Nimtu, you understand. You have Talmud and Maisa, so that's why it's. Rashi's hinting, but the Ritva is even more mafresh. Says the Ritva, I think you could have two approaches to this. You could have either the Ritva or the Maharal, and I think the Shla is really the same as the Maharal, the very, very early Achronim. Says the Ritva, it doesn't mean Talmud's Gadol only because maybe they Maisa. Means Talmud Gadol, because there's two things. Mitzvahs are just an end. Limud is a means and an end. Limud is itself a mitzvah, regardless of what it leads to. And it's also an end. So says the Ritva, no, our Gemara Davka means Svei Dinim. Talmud Gadol, because besides being an end, which all mitzvahs are, it's also a means. So he says it just means that it's also a means. It doesn't mean it's only important since it's a means. It's also a means. And then the Maharal and the Shla say it even deeper. They say it doesn't mean Talmud's Gadol because it's maybe the Maisa. Like, because it's maybe the Maisa that makes it Gadol. It's what they call Siman Sibach Hakira. Is it because it's maybe the Maisa that it's great? Or does the fact that it's maybe the Maisa reveal how great it is? Right? That's the question. When I say because, I can mean one of two things. This causes that, or this proves that. But it didn't cause it, right? If I say he's really smart because he got a 1600 on his SATs, I don't mean he's smart because, no, he got the 1600 because he's smart. What I mean is he's really smart, and the proof of that is the Gloy Mill says the six. Wait, we use the word because in two ways. Could say, you know, he's really good at piano because his parents gave him lessons when he was young, which is causation. Or he could say he's really smart because he got a 1600 SATs, which is not causation. It's just the proof. Says the Maharal, this is not the reason. The reason Talmud is Gadol is not because maybe the Maisa. The proof that Talmud is Gadol is that it's maybe the Maisa, because he says, philosophically, if X brings about Y, then what's more powerful, X or Y? Obviously X. If X can bring about Y, that means it's bigger than Y, because it can bring it about. This, by the way, if you ever look at, we're not getting into this, we've shown and discussed how do we know that God, there's a God. It's all based on this thing, right? If God created the world, God must be greater than the world, etc., right? If X created Y. This is the basic premise of medieval philosophy, that if I give birth to a baby, I must be more powerful than that baby, because I give birth to it. It couldn't have given birth to me, right? And that makes a lot of sense, right? If education can lead to financial success, then what's really more powerful? Education's more powerful because within it has the power to lead to financial success, right? It's a Gloy Milsa, right? So here says the Maharal and the Shla, they say that it's just a Gloy Milsa. It's a proof. The cause is always greater than the effect. It doesn't mean Talmud's great. The greatness of Talmud is that leads to Maisa. No, the greatness of Talmud is in and of itself. The proof is that how great is it that it leads to Maisa. And this really comes down to two ways of understanding what it means that Talmud is maybe the day Maisa. What does it mean maybe the day Maisa? Right? Let me just ask. I apologize. Don't apologize to me. I apologize to you. But I won't even put it on the board. Just two questions, and then I will let you go. Number one, what does it mean, maybe lide maisa? You can understand maybe lide maisa on two levels. On the one hand, says the Shiltos, you have to know what to do, right? On the one hand, it could be you know what to do. Maybe lide maisa in the practical sense of I have to know the halacha in order to keep it. But many of Farshim explain, no, maybe lide maisa is not just the practical sense of knowing how to keep it. It could be, let's take it in two steps. The Meir in Bava Kamma says, not just knowing what to do. It's that the mitzvah is better if I know what I'm doing when I do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is deeper if I have an intellectual understanding of the Torah of the mitzvah. Everyone knows, even if two people are Yotzei Sukkah the same, The guy who knows Maseches Sukkah is more deep and meaningful than the guy who doesn't know Maseches Sukkah. So it could be maybe the Maisa deepens the Maisa, but even more so, look at the Tosfos Riazak in here, and the Shla, it say, maybe the Maisa doesn't mean to know the Halacha. Learning Zvachim is maybe the Maisa and Sukkah. Why? Because Talmud Torah transforms your personality. It makes you a different person. Says the Shla, says the Tosfos Riazak in, I don't know if it's him, it's in parentheses, it might just be the editor, I'm not sure. How they wrote the Tosfos Riazak in, he says, it doesn't just mean you know the Halacha. It means that when you learn Torah, you then learn Midas Tovos and Hashkafa of life and how to be an Oved Hashem, and then mainly you do all the right things. It says the Shla likewise, when you learn Torah, it makes your Seichel overpower your physical desires, and then you do the right things, meaning it transforms you into a holy person. And that's what the famous Rivash says, we don't find Yiras Chet and Anav and Zrizos except for people who learn Gemara. Okay, the context of that, I'm not getting into the Maimonidean debates or the later as parallel debates. But what is it from Haigon? He's quoting, so it's prima. He says that Torah, it just transforms you into a holier person. It brings you closer to Hashem, and that's what's maybe the day Maisa. So also you could ask, like, what does it mean maybe the day Maisa? Maybe the day Maisa in a technical sense of I know what to do, or maybe the day Maisa in a deeper sense of it transforms my personality. And once I have a transformed, holier personality, maybe the day Maisa, that affects everything I do in life because now I'm a different kind of person who has a different set of values and a different perspective on life. So I think, A, we have to ask, is it really just maybe the day Maisa or is it in and of itself? And B, within maybe the day Maisa, does that mean in a technical sense or in a deep sense? I'll just point out very briefly, we don't have time to get into it, what would the end in itself be in Torah learning? What would be the end in itself more than just maybe the day Maisa? So it could be this. Says the Rambam. The Rambam says, quotes free, the mitzvah of Voda includes Talmud Torah. If you ask, what's the end of Torah learning? Like, what's the point of Torah learning? The point of Talmud, I would say in four ways. Number one, maybe Lide Maisa, technical. Number two, maybe Lide Maisa, transformative. Number three, says the Rambam, the Rav quoted this a few times, it's avoda, it's a kind of avoda. What does avoda mean? Avoda means kabbalah shel malchus shamayim, being subservient to Hashem. When we learn the Torah, again, not as intellectual Jewish studies, for intellectual curiosity. When we learn the Torah, lo min amanas lasos, out of a sense of mechuyavot, that I'm learning the command of Hashem, and the ritzon Hashem, because I'm committed to it. Even if I'm learning zvachim, and I'm never going to do it. I mean, I hope I will. But yeah, I'm not a Kohen, at least. Even if I learn Zvachim, I'm never going to do it. Even if I learn Temurah, I'm never going to do it. Right? It doesn't matter. When I'm learning the Ritzon Hashem and bringing that inside me and committing myself to it, that's Avoda. What greater Avoda is there? What's the bigger Avoda? God says, do this and you do it? Or God says, this is my Ritzon and you accept that Ritzon on yourself? How do you accept that Ritzon on yourself? By learning it. That's even a deeper Avoda than doing, because it's internal. And I would just add the famous... It's fascinating. In the beginning of Hasidus, who are the biggest arch enemies in the world? Right? The Gra and the Baal HaTanya, the Gra's greatest Talmud is Rav Chaim Volozhin. The Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Tanya say the exact same thing about Talmud Torah. Says the Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim, it's interesting how, you know, sometimes like the political debates look very big and they actually, lemaisa, they're not just political, but at the core, it's not really a debate about what we believe. It's a debate about how to implement what we believe most practically in our circumstances. They say that no, that if they have an additional. Here I mean avoda, sort of the psychological avoda of Kabbalah's Ritzon Hashem. And I think on a deeper level, they say the internalization of Ritzon Hashem. What they mean, and I'm not going to explain the Kabbalah, says in Nefesh HaChaim, al pi Kabbalah, there's many dargas between us and Hashem. Everything has to go through many gates, etc. He says, but hold on a second, because Hashem's really not physical, etc. What is Hashem really? He's really purely mental. He's purely a ratzon. He's purely thoughts. What are Hashem's thoughts? The Torah. If I think the thoughts of the Torah, then by definition, I am godly inside myself. He says, any mitzvah I do can't make me godly inside. When I think the thoughts of Torah, even if it's just Bava Kama, and it seems like civil law, but that's what Hashem's thinking. And since all Hashem is thought, if I'm thinking what Hashem's thinking, then I'm thinking all of Hashem. I don't mean I become God, but I mean become the level of unity with Hashem by bringing Hashem's Ratzon, by molding my Ratzon and Hashem's Ratzon. not just avoda in terms of subservience and worship and acceptance, but really avoda in terms of valach bedrachav, not just halicha bedrachav, becoming inside bedrachav. So he says that's the highest madriga possible, and that's why it's an end in and of itself. Okay, I could go on for hours, but I won't. Let's just finish up the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, ha'ochel b'shukar is a doma lekelev. Someone who eats in the marketplace is like a dog. Tosfos deals with many pshatim. We have no time to get into them. Yeshar or pasul eidos. Maybe it's pasul eidos. This is clearly because he has no self-respect. Actually, no. It's a machlokas because there's no self-respect. Machlokas, does he mean eat in the shuk in a way that's mevuza, no self-respect? Or does it mean he eats in the shuk by taking things unethically in the shuk? That's not mamish theft. That's almost theft. And then it's a soul of theft. That's a big chakira. Amar vidibar malach yeshom. Darsh bar kavar. Rags on the osviyot alayk sanusa. Someone who's angry all the time, all he gets is anger. What does that mean? Rashi says it means his body hurts from his anger. The Meiri says he ends up making mistakes out of his anger and getting into trouble. There's other pshatim. A good person, they give him to taste the fruits, meaning only the interest, not the principle of his actions. Whoever has no mikra mission derech eretz, we said pasul eidos enu yushuv, yushuv mudra nami menu means have nothing to do with him. He's a bad influence. You shouldn't sit in moshav leitzim. Who's the leitz? This guy's the moshav leitzim. So you shouldn't sit with him. You should avoid him and have nothing to do with him, and rather hang out with the kind of people who are giving a good influence on you and bring you closer to Torah and Olam Haba. Hadron alav with a little skipping. Haisha nikneis, and we'll pick up Amir Hashem with the summer's man. First thing Sunday morning, we'll give out the course and start the limud, and the shiur will be the regular Monday slot.
Good. Well, at the same time, 11:30.
At the same time, 11:30.
Without getting mystical, I mean, there's this whole concept of Gan Eden, of the tzaddikim sitting and learning. There's no mitzvahs there. So it's clearly the learning is common. And maybe say it's a different world altogether. The rules are different.
Right. Well, though, you see, the tricky part is that you actually made something up there. It never says that tzaddikim sit and learn Gan Eden. It says they're nen and mizvashchina. So you made an assumption that nen and mizvashchina means learn. But you already assumed the result you wanted to prove, so that's why...